You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Throw him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Resting liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Pull up Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flexed in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my co-host, the Anthony Bowen to my masked caster, because we are critically acclaimed, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how's it going?
I mean, why do I have to be the Anthony Bowens?
Oh, you don't want to be the one that everybody likes? You want to be the problematic one? We can switch.
I didn't think that the scissoring thing was unproblematic, so we'll get there. But
true.
Just saying, thank you.
Yeah,
happy to be here. Happy to talk wrestling, and I guess I'll be the Anthony Bowens. Happy Pride. Still, we'll just continue to pretend it's Pride. There we go. How's
Pride
it going
all year?
Pride every day, 24/7. What? There's definitely a phrase, something about that.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me just wave this. Play some music, some Born This Way by Lady Gaga.
I'm done.
This is stupid. Why do they let us podcast?
I don't know.
Oh, we're still thank here. You so much. We are still here, and we do have good mic quality, so maybe that's one reason. But Mari, speaking of still being here, how has the last week and a half been?
Oof. Yeah, it's been good. It's been a minute. We haven't been back since we did our Money in the Bank preview, because I have been vacationing, and I feel well rested. Mm. I feel like I'm gonna have such a hard time when I go back to work on Monday, which is always, that's how you know you have like a good, at least restful vacation, when you're like, oh god, I have to struggle through all of these emails.
Oh my gosh, this
how about
is real.
You
living vicariously through you, basically, because between working this week and then also just the world and also the wrestling world, it has been an exhausting week. So I'm just happy to be here. This is like our weekly therapy session around wrestling, which, you know what, it's pretty good that we have a weekly therapy session for wrestling, because most wrestling fans don't. And so I'm glad that other people could be here with us on the, on the journey.
No, I get it. I've been actively for the past week touching grass, and that is not a metaphor.
Literally.
Like, I have literally been out making sure just staying as like far away from social media basically as much as possible. Big Brother brought me back, of course, but like,
time off. So my heart rate just jumped up about however many beats. I don't know how far.
Yeah. And how are you? I mean, you've become a
celebrity?
Reality TV star. Yeah. In the meantime, what are we talking about?
Yeah. Survivor Philadelphia. I was on Survivor Philadelphia season 2. And we filmed that almost a year ago. I was actually debating coming into this. I was like, do I just pretend to like kayfabe this and pretend I don't remember anything that happened when we did it? But I'm not going to do that to all of you. I do remember it. It was Like, it was fun to even just be part of a Survivor thing. And right. I'm excited for it to come out. July 19th it airs, but the trailer's out there. My profile is out there. You are my number one freaking fan always, yeah. whether it's Survivor Philadelphia or like Brent Steele. You're always really like, ready to fight people for me. So fight them. Beat them up.
Amari Talks Too Much is an official Matt Scott stan account.
Now, and it better and it better be, because honestly, someone needs to have an official Matt Scott stan account these days. Too many enemies and haters out there.
Yes, exactly that. So let's jump into our this weekly mess.
Yes.
What's some more news? Just more news. So the Wall Street Journal uncovered some more sexual details about the sexual misconduct allegations against Vince McMahon. Ooh, it's a doozy. So Vince McMahon has paid more than $12 million to four women to suppress sexual misconduct allegations.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Could you imagine? How is that even? You know what? Are you surprised is maybe the better question, because I'm not surprised.
Yeah. No.
Let me hide his little gangly face up here on our YouTube. But if you do want to look at Vince McMahon's face and other pictures from pro wrestling and us and our guests who are to come, watch us on YouTube as always. But yeah, what do we even have to say about this? We spent like 2 hours. We spent like 2 hours talking about Vince McMahon and everything a few weeks back. And so this is definitely an abbreviated reaction. But Mari, what are you thinking?
Yeah, we might go into it a little bit further detail as more information comes out, because this did drop on Friday. So haven't had too many repercussions from it yet, so we'll definitely follow up. But basically, this second article by the Wall Street Journal that Yahoo Sports reported, so we'll put the link to the article in our show notes, in our show description, basically outlines four instances where McMahon paid women to basically cover up sexual encounters. And it ranges from like paying a woman $1 million because he sent her unsolicited nude photos and sexually her in 2008. And sexually harassing her on the job, to a $7.5 million payment in 2018 to a former wrestler who alleged that McMahon coerced her into giving him oral sex and then demoted her, and ultimately declined to renew her contract in 2005 after she resisted further sexual encounter. So, like, that is so disgusting. Like, it is so disgusting on every freaking level. Like, I just, my skin is crawling right now. Like, I just don't understand how you can see these reportings and not feel some type of way about this man, like, using money to silence victims of his like sexual advances. Because again, like we pointed out at that last our last podcast where we touched on this, consent is very it's hard when the person that is requesting you to do sexual encounters is also your boss.
Some would say it's impossible, even if you look at some definitions, just because of the power dynamic. Not to cut you off.
No, please. You know it better. You know it better than amazing. I do. So it's just very, very skin crawling. Another $1 million payment in 2006 to a former 10-year WWE manager who alleged McMahon initiated a sexual relationship with her. And then, of course, the original $3 million payment that we heard between a paralegal and Vince McMahon. So I just... This is bad. You know, this is bad.
This is truly, really bad. It's bad. And I hope, like, I think both of us and hopefully the listeners of this podcast, and I think a lot of the listeners of this podcast are, of course, on the same page of us. Like, this man needs to be let go. He needs to be fired. He needs to not be anywhere near any business, let alone something like WWE, even though he created it. And it seems like he's determined to kind of drag it down with him, or, you know, maybe he's under the impression that it's things aren't going downhill. But, you know, it's tough because it's like, what is there even to say at this point? I think the biggest thing on my mind is wrestling fans and just wanting them to understand that there's one thing between a quote unquote consensual relationship and another when it's people losing their jobs and being coerced into sexual activities and the like, and sent unsolicited nudes and sexually harassed that way at work. So, you know, the one thing I do want to say though, is that it's really unfortunate that certain women's wrestlers have had their names mentioned, because what's happened with this story is that they, and I'll repeat this here, we won't repeat or mention anyone's names, but the story says, okay, this person was released in 2005 or let go and not renewed in 2005. So everyone's looked and said, who was released? Who was let go in 2005? And then, you know, maybe a similar thing has happened with the 2008 person, even though we don't know when they were let go. And yeah, not cool. I will say that I appreciate that the big outlets that I have seen out there, the ones that we respect and talk about, like Fightful and Sean Ross Sapp, are on the same page about, like, we don't mention the names of the victims. We're not going to speculate about the names of the victims or survivors of this and of these things. That's not really what's important in all of this. But if they do choose to come out and speak out, then that'll be amazing. And I'm sure we'll probably talk about whatever they have to say and amplify their voices even more then.
Right. And I feel like I'd be shocked if we don't get more people coming forward. Like, I'd truly be shocked. But, you know, we'll see. Like we said, this news just dropped recently. And I just want to briefly mention, like, if you're kind of wondering why we haven't updated you on the Sasha and Naomi stuff, it's because there's no update. Like, it's still like they haven't, you know, it's all just rumors. Right. And it's kind of weird that right before this news dropped, it was like I think it was like Wrestling Inc. or something dropped something like, oh, Sasha and Naomi dropped from internal rosters. And then when like Fightful and Sean Ross Sapp try to confirm, they're like, this isn't really news. Like, we don't find anything that's happened that's been different. They've been not on internal rosters because they've not been traveling, you know, internally. So why would they be on the internal rosters? And they're still technically on the website as of right now. The biggest news that I found out that wasn't even broken by a journalist, it was just by somebody on Twitter and by my own personal experience, Peacock took down Sasha Banks's avatar. So if you have Peacock, you get a choice of your avatars for each profile. And of course, mine was Sasha Banks, because why wouldn't it be? And unfortunately, she's no longer available as an avatar. So if you had a Sasha Banks avatar and then you log into your Peacock, it's now just the blue Peacock now. It's the standard avatar. And that did break my heart, I'm not gonna lie.
That's sad, but it's also funny to me because I still have the blue Peacock as my avatar.
So you never knew.
Yeah, I feel like I missed out. Is Naomi an avatar option? No. Or is it just select?
So that's the thing. It was literally three superstars. It was Roman, Sasha, and Asuka, if I remember correctly.
Interesting.
That's it. Yeah. So,
Well, that's an interesting, we won't get into it, but that's a like particular mix of people. I wonder why they chose those three.
Yeah. So, and that's when I set mine up. I don't know if they had added more wrestlers since, but it was literally only three of them from WWE.
Again, I wouldn't know.
And again, it goes to show you how, you know, Sasha was picked to be in that spot because of how popular she was. So it just kind of seems like every time we hear some sort of, oh, new details that aren't truly actually new details about Sasha and Naomi, it somehow supersedes more bad news about Vince. Like, that's kind of very weird. So I have my eyes on some of these outlets. Definitely.
Just to reference that, and there's a good tweet that actually you sent me earlier this mm-hmm. week that was touching on just some of these. And I don't know what to think with these stories and their alignment time-wise. Like, if you're looking at the YouTube, you could see the screenshot of one of the stories about their internal roster update. And then, of course, this Wall Street Journal story. And mm-hmm. And then a few weeks back, we had something similar, you know, with other stories that came out about Sasha being released randomly. And then more about what was being investigated with the payments. And so it's I don't know. It's interesting to think about that. But who knows? It's all sketchy, though, which is I think that's what matters at the end of the day.
Exactly. So whenever we get any concrete evidence of anything that's happening with Sasha and Naomi, we'll let you guys know. Yeah. So and again, also we'll update on the Vince McMahon story. But, you know, we're moving on because we're going to try and have some fun today.
Fun, right, yeah. Exactly.
And not think about how horrible this corporation is. Yay!
No, Mari, Mari, extinct it from your memory. I'm sure we're gonna forget it. We're just gonna pretend that everything's okay. Like the house is on fire, but we're smiling. We're having a good time.
Let's just talk a little bit about Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank was last week, Saturday. We previewed it. We'll of course get into everything that happened when we go over the highlights, because of course highlights are tied to what happened. Just a little bit of overall thoughts about the show. For me, Money in the Bank was interesting because it was everything that I thought would happen, and there were good things that happened, but even the good things kind of felt tinged with weirdness. So I couldn't even enjoy it.
What do you mean by that?
So Liv wins the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Right.
We talked about it on the show. I was like, oh my God, if they did that, I'd be so excited. I did not have any faith in WWE because I've stopped having faith in WWE. Oh, no. But I love that she won. I was like, this is amazing. I hated that she cashed in that night. Like mm-hmm. I said on that podcast, I hate that the women, 5 out of the last 6 Money in the Bank holders have had the briefcase less than a day. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so annoying. Carmella is the only one that's held it for longer than a few months. And I just don't understand the leap in the logic when you could build character moments while that person has the briefcase to get them. Like, that's the whole point of the briefcase. It's so that while they're holding it, you can put them into champion. You can get the audience for them to be a champion. Like, you're priming the audience to accept them as the champion. Mm-hmm. So why are we just cashing in on that same day? And then you stifle your storylines. Like, I'm so annoyed. I'm so annoyed at that. That truly pissed me off. And then on top of that, the women's
Women's Money in the Bank match, you mean? Match.
Yeah, it was very shitty.
I mean, and I, that, it's interesting. I'm glad you didn't ask me what my match of the night was, because that would actually probably be my match of the night.
Fine. I get it. The result.
And it's the result, and it was solid. But then there were some, there was some sloppier moments and whatever with that. But just to get to the weirdness that you're talking about, I see what you mean, because we also had Bobby Lashley beating Theory for the U.S. Championship, which is the prediction. It's what a lot of us wanted. I don't remember what my prediction was for that, honestly. And then Theory is randomly put into the Money in the Bank ladder match and then goes on to win that.
Win it. Exactly.
And so Bobby Lashley is kind of an afterthought there. That's kind of a little weird. I don't know. It's kind of a strange show now that you mention it.
Yeah, exactly. And the moment that he got inserted into that match, it kind of took the wind out of sails for the men's match for me, because I was like, how do you insert him into that match and he doesn't you know, he doesn't win. Like, I feel like that told me who was going to win the match. So everything after that, I was just kind of like, okay, this is a train wreck. People are throwing each other. This is great. Oh, wait, where's Theory? He's not here. Of course he's not here. He's not participating in most of the match. Oh, look, he won the briefcase. Like, that kind of took the wind out of my sails.
Yeah, and you know what, I do, but the back to the weirdness piece of it, like, oh, great, we're building a new star, or like, this is someone different, it's not a repeat winner. You talked a lot, Mari, and I totally agree with this, of like, why give it to the same person again and again and again, and like, elevate the same people again and again and again, when you could build new stars, which is great for everything and everyone. And so it's nice that they did that. Execution not so great, and of course we've talked about Theory before. Rob Cesternino, head of Rob Has a Podcast, big fan of, well, I don't know if he's a big fan, sorry Rob for putting those words in your mouth, fan of Theory, but I think that there are a lot of differing opinions on him.
Exactly He's not my cup of tea. I said it before, so that's all it is at this point.
I like for him. He has some good muscles.
Okay.
That's about it.
Right. Yeah, that's about it. The rest of the night was like, okay. You know, the Ronda and Natty match was, I'll give it to them, they wrestled down. A lot of like real good technical wrestling.
Sure.
When Liv was going to cash in on Ronda, I got so scared. I think I was halfway through a tweet, like, why are they doing this? Oh my god, because the women's Money in the Bank holder has never lost, so somebody is going to end up losing at some point, so that they can, you know, that percentage and keep that unpredictability. So I was truly scared that when Liv came down to cash in on Ronda, that she was going to lose, and I would like that would have been my heart like sank into my butt, because I truly was like, oh my god, Liv is cashing in on Ronda. Liv is about to lose. This is about to be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it was again, she kicks Ronda in the knee and then rolls her up for the pin. And it's not the biggest baby face or good guy kind of move, but she won it. And it is, you know, back to your point about Money in the Bank, they could use it for build and to have tension. When are they going to cash in? They could cash in anytime. That's the whole point of Money in the Bank. That's not just that the person gets the title shot. But it does sound like, especially with the women cashing in the same night, that they are, they're just using it to like get the championship onto someone else without having to build the story in between, which is, I mean, it's really okay, dumb. But they're going back to that well a little bit too often.
Right. All right. So that's it for news, because we have incredible guests waiting. So hopefully if you have any long form questions, you can send us an email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. Hopefully you are following us on Twitter @WrestlingWrapUp on Twitter. You can join the conversation using #WrestlingWrapUp. And then if you want, you can join our unofficial official Facebook group, Job Has a Squadcast. Just let us know. DM us. We'll get you in there. We love everybody in the Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group. That's where we get most of our questions. Hopefully you are already subscribed to our podcast feed. Go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed to subscribe. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you rate and review. That really helps us get eyes onto us. Hopefully you are also looking at our beautiful faces here on YouTube. Go to the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page and search Wrestling WrapUp, and you will find all of our video formatted podcasts. And then finally, it's the beginning of the month, so what are you waiting for? Please go to Patreon. Go to www.patreon.com/RHAP to sign up to become an RHAP patron. Especially now, Big Brother season just started. We have tons of exclusive patron-only content coming out from the slop, the patron five on, no, the patron five on five is not Big Brother related, but the call-in show, the BB call-in show with Rob and Taryn. So many good BB related content is starting up on our Patreon. So go subscribe now if you already haven't. All right. So let's just pause for a little ad break. We're back. We have fabulous right. guests.
We do. Do we welcome them in?
Yes, please.
I feel like they're like knocking at the door. You know, it's like, okay, let's let them in. Making their way to the podcast, a podcasting mixed tag team duo like no other. You might know them from post-show recaps. And Rob has a podcast first. He is the patron and an avid supporter of Rob Has a Podcast, aka the Daddy Network, a movie and TV podcaster, the Ariel that naps. Please welcome that other Ariel, Ariel from New York, Hollywood Hulk Ariel. Ariel and his tag team partner. She is a podcaster, a doctor, the medical kind with degrees and books and stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the degrees, the books, and the stuff. A self-proclaimed all the things. I don't know even where I was going to go with that. Who knows? She's great at everything. But you know what? She is an expert. She's the hub. She's the person when it comes to Severance, when it comes to the RenapBot, when it comes to all the things. And most of all, you probably know her from Survivor Philadelphia Season 1. Please welcome Dr. Amanda, a.k.a. Dr. Applebee's. Dr. Amanda.
Wow. Wow. Ariel, I'm blown away. Are you blown away?
I am blown away that you never told me that your doctorate was in Applebee's.
My doctorate is in Applebee's. It's true. It's true.
Love to see that program.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Incredible. Very rigorous curriculum in Applebee's.
So excited to be here. This is so exciting.
Yes, we're so excited to have you guys. While Matt catches his breath.
Matt, I'm going to pull that audio clip and just listen to it every morning while I'm getting ready to hype myself up.
It's like the opposite of holding your breath for a minute is just talking without knowing where you're going.
Exhaling.
Amazing. Amazing. And
he always almost passes out every time.
But this time was the closest I actually came. I started turning blue. It might not be too clear, but I was.
We are so glad to have you guys here. We're getting some fresh perspectives today, so we're excited about that. Let's start by giving us a little bit of your background in wrestling. So Ariel, tell us a tad bit about what you know about wrestling.
Wow. I don't know a whole lot as far as current stuff, but I have a soft place in my heart for wrestling in general. I used to watch it with my older brother when we were kids back in like the WWF versus WCW days. And like you had to like switch between the channels at the same time and trying to time the commercial breaks. And we had Hulk Hogan and NWO stuff. And then SmackDown was new. I think I started to fall off right as SmackDown was like first coming up. Because I remember it was like on UPN channel in New York and, you know, The Rock was really big and then I just fell off of it forever and ever. But it's always like in my periphery and I'm like, oh, look, stuff is happening in the wrestling world, especially recently, you know, some not so great news. But the thing that is always the thing that I have always appreciated is like the authenticity of the fans and like how loyal the fans are and can be. Yeah, it's nice. It's like so interesting to have watched all this stuff with that like random many, many years old context and see some not really familiar faces, but some familiar things, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And did you have any like favorites back then? If thinking back to the WCW versus WWF era is there anyone who comes to mind who you just remember from that period that jumps out?
I remember.
Oh my gosh. Were you a Rock fan? Were you a Stone Cold fan? Were you
Stone Cold? Yeah. I feel like I just remember the beer and it was like always so disgusting that so much of it, but like I also couldn't look away.
Like you were like eight like, wow. watching this and
yes, and now clearly I look a little bit more like him than I probably did when I was a kid. So like maybe that's, you know,
almost bald head. Yes.
Yes. But like the thing also that I remember is just like all the drama. Like I remember when NWO was a thing, was first coming. I was like, wait, what does this mean? Who's in this? The betrayal. Like I lived for yes. the stories and like the highs and the lows of the,
yeah.
of the soap opera.
Yeah. I love that. Dr. Amanda, what about you? Any experience in wrestling?
So wrestling? Almost nothing, but not completely nothing. So, I am not a wrestling fan. Wrestling is not for me. We'll get into this. I am like a squeamish person. I don't like to see people hurting each other. Right. My expertise is in brain injury, and there is quite a bit of concussion risk, and even, you know, CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, that's associated with wrestling. So not, you know, my idea of a great activity in general, mm-hmm. but I did have like a very brief, I had the summer job. So this is going to date me because I am a woman of a certain age, but back in 1998, somebody like in my office, like I had a summer job in high school, between high school and college, where we had like a TV in the office, and somebody was watching, I think WCW. And mm-hmm. it was when Jay Leno and mm-hmm. Diamond Dallas Page were like fighting Hulk Hogan and somebody else. And this was like, I knew like literally nothing about wrestling at this point. So I was like, why is this fat late night comedian like going against these like superheroes? Like, isn't he going to get his ass beat? And then I realized that it was actually like there was this theatricality to it all. Mm-hmm. And so I was a little bit like, train wreck fascinated by following mm-hmm. that plot line when that was happening, and people were watching it around me. And then I really didn't watch any, I don't really know any wrestling at all. My husband, I know, grew up like a really big wrestling fan. He followed it. He and his brother like to like, you know, stage like fights in their backyard and do all mm-hmm. of that stuff. I watched Glow, but that's like really
I love Glow.
Glow is great. I adored that. But that's like, so that's really, that's the extent completely of my wrestling knowledge.
That's great. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? You are fit to talk about wrestling for many reasons, but including brain related reasons.
Yeah.
What's CTE say? Chronic what?
Chronic traumatic encephalopathy. So if you've heard of this, it's probably because there have been some high profile cases of at professional athletes, mostly from the NFL, most recently in pro soccer players and NHL as well. Like they've discovered postmortemly in their brain signs of neuropathology that we think is associated with repetitive concussion over the course of a long period of time. Now, this really kind of popped up as an issue. This is what used to be called dementia pugilistica or punch drunk syndrome back in the 1920s it was first identified. And for a long time, people thought like it only happens in boxing, but it was really in the 2000s that we started to discover that we see this associated with pro football players. And that kind of has heightened a lot of concern about this. There's fear that, you know, later in life, even like, you know, in midlife, like, you know, many years later, people can show signs of memory loss, behavior change, aggression, self-harm, impulsivity. So we don't know like the prevalence of it. So a lot of people are concerned, like I played football in high school or I played football in college. Like, am I going to get CTE if I've had a number of concussions? Like, it's not as prevalent as some of the news reports might have you believe, but it is like a real concern. So whenever I see somebody hit their head, even if I know that it's like somewhat staged and that they're probably protected, like I just, it's a very visceral thing for me.
That's very interesting because a funny thing about Twitter this week.
What happened?
Chris Benoit was the main subject for about 2 days about does he belong in the WWE Hall of Fame, which
should
be a moot point, you would think. So, Dr. Amanda, have you heard of the most famous case of CTE in a wrestler being Chris Benoit and what he did with his family?
Horrible.
No, yes, oof. I did hear about this. Like, somebody brought this to my attention, like, in the last. So I know that he hurt his family and then he committed suicide.
Yes, he murdered his mm-hmm. young son and his wife, and then committed suicide. And I'm your host of Crime Scene, and this is a Crime Scene Break.
It's like, this is very real too. Wow.
Mari is the exact person who should talk about this.
I know, and it's amazing too, because it's just like, these are all things that we see in the context of wrestling, and we've talked about, mm-hmm. we've mentioned CTE before in mm-hmm. some of these instances too, and it scares me to think about. Because, like, and you could speak to this more than I could, doctor, but and I know you're speaking to us in the capacity of your Amanda-ness, not the doctor-ness, but we'll go with that. But, you know, like, the something that I understand is that a lot of, like, if you want the brain scans to be done, like, that has to happen post-mortem for folks with CTE, or at least that's a lot of what I've seen.
I mean, it's really tricky right now because people are aware this is an issue and everybody wants to be able to track this in living people for obvious reasons, right? So you can mm-hmm. so we can, first of all, like, identify treatments and identify people who are at risk for some of these behaviors mm-hmm. and making sure that they get the help that they need. And there are some, like, more experimental, not widely available imaging techniques, because, like, what you're really not right. like most of our neuro. I mean, I'm sorry. This is like, no, this gonna, is, I'm geeking out neuroscience. Probably, this is a neuroscience nugget, Ariel. This is one of Dr. Hernandez's neuroscience nuggets. The kinds of brain scans that you can get if you go into, like, the hospital in your city, for the most part, are looking mm-hmm. at the morphology of your brain, the shape, like, and with good resolution. So there's some brain scans that can detect the blood flow and the vasculature of your brain really well. But what we're looking for with CTE is really, like, abnormal proteins, which is, like, a very high resolution specific type of thing. So we don't have widely available imaging techniques that can detect that in living people. It's sort of like Alzheimer's disease. Also, they say you can only really diagnose Alzheimer's disease after somebody dies and you can see the brain tissue and analyze that. So we don't have good imaging techniques for CTE right now. And there have been attempts to try to, like, just diagnose it based on symptoms and, like, what person is presenting, like, whether they're showing these signs of decline. Mm-hmm. That is a little bit more controversial right now. And, like, this is really the kind of thing, like, if you go to academic conferences and CTE comes up, like, scientists start, like, shouting at each other. Like, it's, like, a very controversial topic right now about, like, how well we can diagnose it. What are the symptoms? Like, because when you look at these high profile cases where people, like, commit suicide or hurt mm-hmm. their families, that's, like, might not be, you might be getting a very self-selected sample of people mm-hmm. that you're looking at, where there might be many, many more athletes who have had lots of concussions and might have similar things going on in their brain, but we're not examining them as much as we're examining mm-hmm. these people who have these really dramatic profiles. So that's, like, that's some of the controversy in the literature right now. But all of that is to say, hitting your head over and over again is not good. We know enough to know that.
Right. Yeah. Thank and I you. Think that the other piece of that, that, you know, I think Mari and I appreciate is just that, like, this is, Mari mentioned Sasha and Naomi earlier, who were two women wrestlers, walked out and you know, we're still figuring out if they're leaving WWE or not. It's very fuzzy. But the fact is, like, these people are actually, like, putting their, not only, I don't want to say putting their health on the line, like, they're risking their health because they're actually harming their health, you know, doing what they're doing with wrestling. And so, you know, when wrestlers are complaining or upset or fed up, far be it for any of us to tell them that they're wrong because of all of these risks, including CTE. So I appreciate you sharing that, just because it grounds us in like how just kind of like the stakes for a lot of the people that we're talking about, a lot of the performers we're talking about.
Great. That is perfect.
Come on, Elon Musk. This is the kind of stuff you should be investing in.
Yes, right. Twitter. Right, not Twitter.
He's not investing in Twitter. He doesn't even know.
He pulled out of Twitter.
Yeah, he pulled out.
He was never going to buy it. All right, so let's start with Liv Morgan. So we're going to get into the main storylines that are the most serious from the fallout from Money in the Bank, and then we'll do a little bit of fun games later on. Ooh. But so Liv Morgan comes out to celebrate on Raw not only her winning Money in the Bank, but then cashing in to becoming the SmackDown Women's Champion. I thought this was a really good babyface promo that she had. The crowd was solidly behind her. And then, of course, we got both Natalia and Carmella coming out to be very heelish and just, you know, poke at her. They then start to beat her up. And then, of course, Bianca Belair runs out to a massive pop to help her. And we get Bianca and Liv versus Carmella and Natalia. Ariel, what did you think about these first set of clips that we sent you? What are your thoughts about the performers? Tell us from a new perspective, yes, what you thought about just what you saw.
I appreciated that the women's storyline seemed to be much more fleshed out. Like, they're much more prevalent, certainly, than they used to be all the years ago that I was watching.
Oh yeah.
I love the commentating. Like, it's just, it makes me laugh so much. Like, I wrote down something like this: that knee has been surgically repaired 6 or 7 times. Like, it's so colorful. It's adding so much. You know, like, Liv's sister Gigi is in the front row. Like, who cares? But also, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell her, say exactly where her spot is in the crowd. Yeah.
Docs her. Docs as well. Yeah.
And they showed her a few times too, her and Liv's best friend.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I appreciated that even in the clips, you get, like, to that point about the commentating, you get all this context of, like, the climb has been so long. And it's like literally, mm-hmm, like climbing up the ladder. I thought it was super entertaining. I was like, coming into it, I was worried about not being familiar with these people. And then like, mm-hmm, would I be emotionally invested? And immediately it's like, who cares? This is so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter. that's how I felt about it. Like, especially going in the beginning.
That's awesome. Dr. Amanda.
Yeah, this was probably my favorite storyline of all of the ones that we of all the clips that we watched. This Liv Morgan get winning the title, and I thought that these characters were really well defined in terms of even though I didn't have any context, I kind of got who Natalia was, I got who Carmella was. I think Bianca Belair was my favorite person that I saw in this. So I loved her running out. This was exciting. I was telling Ariel that I'm going to have some extremely level one takes about wrestling, because I'm basically watching this a space alien who doesn't know anything.
We love it.
About it. I hate space.
Oh my
gosh. Famously. But things I thought that a ladder match, the ladder was a metaphor. I didn't think there were going to be actual ladders. And I was like, oh my, they're actually on ladders. Yeah,
wow.
I was That's really funny. Distracted initially that all the women, their long hair isn't pulled back, because that would really bother me. this was really fun. I feel I got a sense of for me, I think the ones that I enjoyed more were where the theatrics were a little bit higher, and there was a really clear storyline, and I could kind of tell what the performers were representing in terms of their characters. So this was probably my favorite of the storylines that we followed.
Great. That perfect. And that's true. Like, the storyline is what kind of draws you to it. And then the action is the mm-hmm, cherry on top. And fun fact, the reason why they have their hair down is so that they can do spot calls without you've seen it. So sometimes the matches can be called in the ring. Live. So if they need to make changes, or if they need to check on each other, they can mouth something discreetly without you knowing.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Interesting, mm-hmm, to know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I would not be able to do that. I'd be just
Oh, that's a real disadvantage for you, Ariel.
This is why I don't wrestle this specific.
That was the one reason. Yeah.
So if this is your introduction, these clips are your introduction. If you just want the rug and the carpet completely just pulled back, like you, if you want to see behind the scenes,
don't tell them wrestling's fake.
I'm not going to tell them wrestling's fake, but I think like Botchamania does like a really good. They do their clips where you can they'll show you wrestlers calling the spots as they're doing the match. And to me, that like some people that turns them off of wrestling, but for me, I think that is the coolest thing because that is like how incredibly hard is that to do? Like they can say like one or two words to their opponent, and their opponent knows exactly what you know to do. Like they're talking to each other while they're wrestling, and some matches are called what you call being called on the fly, where they're just going out there, they're just doing what they do normally is. Between performers who have wrestled together for years, who are friends, who are training partners, who can just go out there and do it. Sometimes the match layout is laid out way ahead of time. Normally those big spots like the Money in the Bank, we sent you guys the Money in the Bank highlights. Mm-hmm. So the ladder matches and stuff like that, those are definitely like laid out ahead of time. Yeah. So it's very interesting how they put these matches together.
Yeah, it's like doing a live magic show, like magic.
Yes.
So like the secrets.
And sometimes the bunny doesn't come out. They have to get like the way that the bunny freaking go. Or like the birds that are supposed to fly out don't fly out, you know? Exactly. So it's like you have to, it's fun. I feel like Botchamania has been a thing probably for like 15 years now or something. It's been around a long time. They have probably close to 500 episodes. So if you're ever curious, if anyone's ever curious, check that out because it just shows how tough this is to do right.
Definitely go to the end of the video. I think the end of their videos is where they do the spot calling. The beginning is just botches, and Dr. Amanda, you will not like that one because don't watch that part.
We should have told you before this whole week. Don't watch wrestling.
Don't watch any of the clips that Mario's sending.
My clips are clean. I have clean clips. Okay. Watch my clips.
That's what they all say.
Matt, anything?
Anything to add? No, I mean, I think you've touched on it so much. I think Liv in this spot is really great. And there's a lot that they could potentially do with this story. I remember watching Money in the Bank and thinking, okay, she has the championship. Ronda Rousey shakes her hand, walks out. You know, it's like this nice thing. And there is so much potential for even just what they could have done turning Ronda Rousey heel. Ronda used to have all of her friends with her in WWE sign the contract. So her friends from the MMA, Shayna Baszler being one of them, she's still with WWE as a wrestler, but was in the UFC. Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke were also MMA fighters who were with the WWE. And like, I so badly would want all of them to show up together and just like beat Liv up and like turn that into storyline, because then Liv's the underdog in all of it and could rise above all of that. But I don't think we're getting heel Ronda in this, unfortunately, or it doesn't look like it so far.
Yeah, we learned on SmackDown that we're definitely going to get they're advertising Liv versus Ronda at Money in the at SummerSlam. Sorry. SummerSlam, it will be on July 30th. And guys, SummerSlam is like the second biggest pay-per-view or premium live event of the year. It's behind WrestleMania. So we're getting Liv versus Ronda. Currently, we'll talk about the Ronda Natty stuff a little bit later. But there's other rumors that Charlotte may be coming back at some point. She'll be doing, we don't know. Charlotte Flair is the daughter of Ric Flair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll fill you in on her a little bit later. Off pod, but like so we don't know what's going on with that situation.
Yeah, and I thought she's on her honeymoon.
No, Andrade's back in AEW, so she's just taking time off.
I guess she didn't have like a 3-month honeymoon.
Andrade been back, so she just got recently married to another wrestler who works in AEW, who formerly worked in WWE. He went to AEW. They got married, and he's back. So he's been back. So that's not the excuse anymore. At least
you should take a break. I feel like she might be at a phase in her career where I have to go back and like see other times she's taking breaks, because she could take a break. Why? She doesn't have to rush back. She has her spot. So
yeah, and
sometimes that's like the Sasha Banks thing we've seen, even though with Sasha, I think it's mostly been injury. It's like, okay, you're gone and then you could return. You're gone, so you could return. And it's all.
But
about
Charlotte
that
does that all the time too. If Charlotte doesn't have the title, she disappears. So.
I'm not saying it's great, but she can do it, and they will indulge her and give her that moment.
My thinking is depending on Rhea's injury. So Dr. Amanda, we actually did have a woman who was supposed to be at Money in the Bank, but then she got injured. We didn't know she was injured, and then it came out that she had like brain injuries as well. We don't know the extent of it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so and she hasn't been on TV in about 3 weeks or so, so I don't think that it doesn't seem like it's a normal concussion, mm-hmm. because with WWE, a normal concussion, heavy on the air quotes, they throw them back out there like after a few days.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you have a concussion, you should It's like, I think a minimum, even for like a mild injury, you should be out for like 1 to 2 weeks, 10 days minimum, because like it takes, even if you start to feel better, it takes a longer for your brain to fully recover. And then if you have a second injury, which you're more likely to have if you're mm-hmm. recovering from an injury, then mm-hmm. that can be much, much worse. So
exactly.
Oh my gosh. And just so everyone knows, Ariel is cringing. And you know, I will say, actually, since we're talking about this topic, I was listening to a wrestling podcast yesterday where one former WWE wrestler, Rene Dupree, who's the host of this podcast, I think it's called Cafe de Rene, was interviewing a women's wrestler, Taylor Wilde, who was like, she was signed to WWE Developmental. She wasn't really in WWE. She was in this other company, TNA, whatever. And they were talking about just like how often they've gotten concussions like in their, you know, in their career. So it is horrible. And it is like, I think it's good that people understand how often these things have mm-hmm. happened before. WWE is a lot more careful now than they were responsive to that now than they were at the time when Renee and Taylor were wrestlers, which is like closer to 10 to 15 years ago that they were each involved mm-hmm. in WWE. But still, it's just good for people to understand. This is that episode.
So this is a very special episode. No, I don't like it. People can like make informed decisions about their own level of risk. But the thing that like worries me about like some of these athletes is like maybe they don't have all of the information for informed decisions mm-hmm. and like maybe they get misinformation and like they're putting their health at risk in a way that they're not like fully informed about. Mm-hmm. And especially with concussion and like the culture in certain spaces, which thankfully has changed dramatically in the last 15 mm-hmm. years, like dramatic changes, which are all positive, but the culture is like, it's not that big a deal. You can get right back in there. And it's like, and I don't know. I mean, I know that there are doctors and people who work for these teams, but I feel like there's so much pressure to like put mm-hmm. forth the product that like those decisions are not being made in like a purely medical way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And so Rhea hasn't came back yet. So we'll see what happens, you know, this coming Monday. But if she's still on the shelf, Charlotte mm-hmm. comes back. Technically, with Bianca being the Raw Women's Champion, Bianca, the EST, she's the one who came out and saved Liv Morgan. She is the current Raw Women's Champion. She has defeated all three of the four horsewomen. The only four horsewomen she has not beat is Charlotte Flair. And when we talk about the four horsewomen, we're talking about Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and Bayley. Charlotte Flair, Bianca has never beaten. So if the rumor is Charlotte Flair is coming back, Liv Morgan's going to SmackDown because she's clearly the SmackDown Women's Champion. Maybe Charlotte makes the jump to Raw and Bianca feuds with Charlotte. I don't know. I don't know. This is all speculation.
Yeah. No, I can't. Yeah, the speculation is too much. Yeah, but like Charlotte could end up anywhere. Liv might not have the championship for too long. Who knows what they're going to do?
That too.
Yeah, it's a lot to think through too. Now we'll get there. We'll get there when they get there.
But great on Liv for winning the Money in the Bank. The Money in the Bank match again. But
so you explained this a little bit when we were backstage. So the way Money in the Bank wins is like once you have that, you can insert yourself into any match. Is that sort of what it means?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So when you win the Money in the Bank briefcase, the idea is in that briefcase is a contract. It's a contract for you to be able to challenge. To be able to challenge for the championship, the top title, either the Raw Women's, SmackDown Women's, or the World Heavyweight title, WWE title, whichever title, you can just cash that in, and immediately the match starts. So there's a few ways people do cash in. So
right.
Liv Morgan did was after Ronda and Natty had their match, Liv Morgan ran in and cashed in her briefcase and made it a match between her and Ronda directly after the Ronda Natty match in order to get the championship. Some baby faces will announce ahead of time. Last year, Big E announced ahead of time that he wanted to challenge Bobby Lashley at, I don't even know what random pay-per-view it was.
Whatever that was.
Well,
they did it on Raw. They did it on Raw.
Was it on Raw?
They did it on Raw.
Oh, geez.
It was like the Raw main event. Yeah, he announced it on like Twitter, like, "Hey, I'm in however many hours I'm challenging Bobby Lashley." It was very strange, actually.
It was so weird. Yeah. So some baby faces will announce it. The other one that comes to mind is Braun Strowman. When Braun Strowman cashed his in to have a match with Roman at Hell in a Cell a few years ago, so you can announce the match ahead of time, which is we don't, that's the one I like the least, because the whole point of the briefcase is you can be an opportunist. You can cash it in at any moment. The most famous briefcase cash in is when Seth Rollins, he cashed in on Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania in the main event in WrestleMania. And what made his different was he let Brock and Roman like fight for at least like 10 minutes or something like that. They were just beating the bloody hell out of each other. And then Seth runs in and cashes in, effectively making it a triple threat, because that match didn't end before he cashed in. He made it a triple threat. He took out Roman, and then he won the belt. So it's different ways that you can apply the Money in the Bank briefcase. Some are more entertaining than others.
And as a storytelling device, it's interesting, because like if you are a babyface character or one of the good characters, like there are only so many ways that you could use the Money in the Bank beefcase.
Where's the beefcase, Matt?
Let me know when you find it.
Ariel's fanning himself.
Yes. But there's so many ways you could use it, like without looking like a jerk, because you're just like, if you're the underdog in a scenario where you're being beaten down or the odds are against you, like having the briefcase or the beefcase could be good to even the odds. But otherwise, it's just like it doesn't usually work out well unless you're a heel, a dastardly heel, stealing the championship essentially by sneaking up on them. And so it was weird to see Liv kind of win the way that she did. Especially because Ronda is also a baby face. Strange times.
But it still wasn't. Oh, sorry. Go, Ariel.
I was just going to say, I was disappointed to hear you, Mari, say that this has been happening so much, like with the women cashing in right away, because to me, I was like, wow, this is so exciting. She's cashing in right away. Like it's such a
like subversion right to the bank
of what you would think. But if they're doing it all the time, it's
Honestly, like I said, her cash in itself was like it did what it needed to do, I think, because at this point, I think they know that's the meta for us. So like for people like me, I'm like, okay, I know that somebody who's cashed in has never lost for the women. And I know that they cash in like all the time the night of. So the drama that came for me, I'm like, oh my God, she's cashing in the night of. Plus she's cashing in on Ronda Rousey, who has like only ever really been beat like one or two times clean, because you guys know Ronda Rousey, right? Everybody knows Ronda Rousey.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I was getting ready to ask, like, I feel like she's been in and out a bunch as far as like WWE specifically, right?
The baddest woman on the planet is her nickname. She was the UFC women's champion.
Women's bantamweight champion.
Did she came from MMA, my husband was telling me about her.
Yeah. She's from UFC. Yeah. She was like the longest reigning like women's bantamweight champion for like, I think she was like undefeated for like 2 years or something like that.
Good
and
for
then
her.
A rogue kick took her out and then, you know, whatever. Yeah. But she's very famous. She was like the face of UFC for years. And so when she came to WWE, Ariel is correct. Like she dips in and out. She came in for like a whole year for 2008, left, had a baby, and she's come back. But the reason why they want her there and they put her in that spot is because she has instant name recognition. However, you know, we'll talk about it.
Some people don't want to hear her name. Spoiler alert. I don't know. Yeah, she's we'll talk about her, but not as success. Her appearances currently in WWE aren't as successful as they probably should be for someone with her celebrity, her star power.
Right. So and so with that being said, Liv cashing in on her, I was scared. I was more scared than excited. I was like, oh, this is I don't think this is going to go well. So I can get from a casual viewer like that is very, very exciting. But it just also feels very lazy. It just I said it on our last podcast. It feels like lazy booking. Like Matt said, you don't feel like building a storyline. So you just have them cash in that night. You have them be the champion. And then you're like, oh, we'll figure it out from there. Like,
right.
That's the biggest thing for us.
It's nice as a casual to see like the whole story play out and like what we got to see. So that was rewarding for me too, Ariel. Like, oh, okay. So now, oh, that's how Money in the Bank works. Ooh, this is fun. Like,
There's the literal ladder. It's not just a metaphor. Exactly. But yeah, the Ronda Rousey thing is, it's interesting to hear about like, you know, how some people obviously are more of a fan than others, because like, she doesn't seem to be the most comfortable sometimes when she's talking. Like she had a little mistake almost, or like a slip up when she was like, you know what city we're in, like trying to get past.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no. Oh.
Exactly. Yeah. But let's move on to an example of how Money in the Bank technically should work for a heel. So Austin Theory, I don't care. I know his name is just Theory, but I still call him Austin Theory.
Just, we're not going to talk about this, but just so you know, he had two names. They took his first name away from him. He's just Theory now.
Theory is such a funny name. Like, I thought this is hilarious. His, like, name is just Theory.
Theory.
Mari, that's his name. That's his government wrestling name.
I want my wrestling name to be Hypothesis.
Oh. what is this? This is not a
WWE Dr. Hypothesis.
WWE loves to give people like two names and then take away one name, and it just doesn't make any sense. Like,
they're indecisive.
We have Matt Riddle, who they dropped the mat, and now he's just Riddle. He's just Riddle. And then we had Mustafa Ali. They made Mustafa drop the Mustafa and just was calling him Ali. I was just like, this is just. These people
you
are
like
not
graduate
share.
To like a single name? Is that like a sign?
No.
It's just nonsensical.
They're just like, and they take your first name or your last name. It's not like a Survivor thing. It's not like, okay, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be like Lucina. Yeah, I was trying to think of someone else who wasn't Sarah freaking Lucina, but you know, you're not Lucina now. It's like, okay, we're gonna choose which name we take, because I do think with Mustafa Ali that he had his first name taken at one point, but I think he also might have had his last name taken at one point.
They took everything from him.
They
really did though.
with his heel turn, he brought his first name back, and it was a very powerful way. It was a lot. It was great. I love Mustafa. Yeah. And then like Apollo Crews, they dropped the Crews, so they just call him Apollo. But
they gave him his name back now.
It's the weirdest thing, y'all. I hate it.
What did their driver's licenses look like in kayfabe? Yeah. Like, are they? Do they have McLovin. Like their name crossed out?
The DMV is like so sick of them showing up and getting these name changes.
It's like here at the WWE DMV.
Oh my gosh! Someone needs to make that segment. Skit. Yeah, seriously, one day.
Your name, Matt Scott, you're just Scott now. All right.
I would be so annoyed.
Okay.
It's not even SE, it's not even search engine optimized. Come on.
So
that's my biggest complaint.
So Austin Theory, he had a big night at Money in the Bank. Theory went against Bobby Lashley for the US championship. He was a US champion. It was a pretty good match in a sense, like Bobby Lashley got a lot of offense in, and but then it was like Theory did too. It was kind of weird. I don't know. But it was a pretty good match. Bobby won. He beat him, and I was like, yes, it was great. But then at Money in the Bank, it was supposed to be seven men in the match. And then right before the match started, WWE official Adam Pearce announced that Theory was going to be joining the match. And the ongoing storyline here, guys, is like Theory is like Mr. McMahon's like pet project.
Doesn't age well
at all. Yeah, like he's like his, and like literally Mr. McMahon's been on screen with this man for over a year now. Remember, this all started back in Survivor Series, Matt, where we were at Survivor Series in New York, and he's been his protege. That's what it is. He's been Vince McMahon's protege for over a year now. So he's been getting like unfair treatment. So this is what we're getting to going into the match. He then wins Money in the Bank. On Monday, Bobby is like celebrating his win. Theory comes out to inform Bobby Lashley that not only will he like get his rematch with Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam, but that he'll also be cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase after the Roman versus Brock Last Man Standing match. And I'm just kind of like, huh? Like, and so we also get more of him on SmackDown, where Roman is in the ring with Paul Heyman and the rest of the Bloodline. And they're talking about how, like, this was a really good segment here. Like, we're not excited about Roman versus Brock Lesnar because they've done it like 80 million times. But Paul Heyman is just really good at getting you hyped for stuff. So I was kind of like, dang, am I hyped for this? But while Roman, while they were doing this hyping, Theory's music hits, Theory's kind of playing with Roman. And then again, we get this backstage segment with Theory talking to Caleb Braxton, talking about how, like, people hate me. It's okay. I love that they hate me, but I'm, you know, going to be the WWE champion. So a lot going on here with Theory. Yes. Let's kind of just break it down into little pieces here. Please. What did we feel about, like, did you guys get a sense of his character those first couple of clips with him and Bobby Lashley? Dr. Amanda, what did you think when you first saw Theory?
Yeah, so I think he read like instantly as the villain, the heel to me. Like, I thought he was doing what he needed to do. Like, I did think it was like, you know, I thought that he was like bringing that antagonism that you root against. So I thought he was very successful at that, at kind of being like cocky, like taking the selfie with the Money in the Bank. Like I can get like if you follow him not liking him, but like he was clearly like this, like, you know, he was the star here and he was like clearly the bad guy, and I loved seeing the audience boo him. Like, I thought it was successful from that part, was successful from a storytelling point of view, that like, all right, this jerk just got Money in the Bank and we don't like it, and and he was, you know, just out there being loathable, which I think was what he was supposed to do.
Right.
Yep. He's our resident Gen Zer. He's he talked about how he is the youngest. He was the youngest U.S. champion, and now he has Money in the Bank. He's going to be the youngest champion, which I don't know if he waits too long, he won't be, because he is 24. Didn't Randy Orton win at 24, Matt?
Look, I just feel like they make things up. They make things up, honestly, because yes, I do. Right. Yeah, I do think Randy Orton won at 24. Also, Austin Theory has apparently been 24 for like the longest while. I mean, I believe that he's 24. I'm just saying
it was a little bit like
it has to end at
Simpsons of Simpsons aging, perhaps. Yeah. A little
bit. Ariel, what did you think of Theory?
I thought this was. Like, this was classic unfair, like the rules don't apply to everyone the same, which is a tried and true thing within real life situations aside, I'm talking about, you know, like within the storylines of like the people. Okay, so you have to rise up, we have to like make space for you in these ways that are unfair, and it just adds to the heel quality of the story, where it's like, God, such a jerk, they were all in there ready to fight and now he's like, what the f? It's great, he's so good at it. Like, you need these people to be really believable in order for you to either root against them or root for them, right? That's the beauty of it. You could totally be like in on it with them. I think his name is, his outfit, ridiculous. His costume, excuse me.
What does it make you feel when you
it makes see... me feel tight. It makes me feel like those, I'm sorry, those like and I mean uncomfortable is what I should say. Like, yes.
Matt's disappearing under a hoodie now.
Like, I don't think that's comfortable for him to wear. It's just not, I think it looks a little, it's supposed to look a little silly, Matt, but this is perhaps a little too silly for me.
Stop cringing, Matt, and do your job and pull up a picture.
It's sleek. I know, I'm looking at the picture and I'm like, I'm thinking, do the people need to see?
Yes,
picture of
him. Well, we already saw him.
Fine, we could look at it again, and it is like it's kind of Power Rangers. It does get Power Rangers.
It's like Iron Man's little brother. I don't like it.
Oh, that's really it, because it has like the, they're not like abs, but it's really clearly meant to look like abs on his vest. Yeah,
like the bat suit type of like definition there. Uh huh.
Who gave him this? Who told him to wear this? Like, that's the thing. I wonder if this was his idea or if someone was like, here's the vest for you.
That
you
smile on his face, it makes it clear that he at least thinks it's a good idea. Whether it was his idea or not, it's very punchable. And I think the fact that he's named after like a fashion brand is very funny, because it kind of fits. And it's like Theory. He's very punchable, like Marge said.
Very distinctive fashion, though, I have to say. I don't know.
Well, we'll talk more about fashion.
Fashion is coming. So let's move on. So the Roman clip, Ariel. How did you feel about the Roman Paul Heyman Bloodline clip that Austin Theory kind of poked his head in on?
I thought that it was just him being silly. Like, I couldn't figure out what was happening with all of them coming out at once. as far as like, do we like these people? Do we not like these people? How do I feel about them?
How do you feel about them?
Yeah, how do you feel about them?
I kind of feel indifferent. Like, I felt like the highs, really? I was getting so much from Theory, and I was getting so much, and even just from the women's clips that I had seen before. And this was a little bit less, like, I think Roman Reigns, I'm getting a lot from, and clearly he's important and he's getting like a big storyline. But the other people, I was kind of like, is this the same guy who used to be the Undertaker's hype man? No, that guy, I think that guy passed away. It was kind of, I wasn't sure what the purpose, I guess, was of the other stuff.
I agree with that, Ariel. Yeah. Like, I feel like in this, like, I got what Theory's point of view, like, he was giving what he needed to give, and then it kind of got like chaotic, and I was like, I don't know what all of this, like how all of this plays into, like, I lost the thread a little bit with all of that.
Yeah. I think part of it too with Roman Reigns and the Usos who were standing with him, Paul Heyman, who's with him, is that they're so established and they're such like main acts in WWE that maybe they didn't feel the need to establish them as much. Also, Roman is so stoic in all that he's doing too, that I don't think it's giving a lot of like emotion necessarily, unless you have a competitor who's in his face. Like, that's, he's the head of the table. That's like his thing. And he's this, they also refer to him as the tribal chief, which I kind of feel like is an increasingly questionable name, but yeah, we'll deal with that some other time. Yeah. But I'm like, Mari, we can't stop in on everything.
They call themselves the bloodline. They're of a, yes, Samoan like wrestling, mm-hmm, dynasty. Yes. They're the Usos, those are his cousins. They're the sons of Rikishi, like, okay, Ariel Rikishi.
Oh, yes, yeah, yes, 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 yes. Yeah. My ears flopped, yeah, up. Yeah.
And so they're all like, they're blood related. And you see all those belts on them.
Yes. Yeah.
Roman is currently the WWE champion and the Universal champion. So he has, like, just like the women have two belts for each brand, the men have two belts, but they're currently on one person. Like, that's how.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, but like that, and then the Usos also each have two tag team championships. Championship belts, because they have, yes, the two different tag team championships. So there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, it's a lot. We still don't know. Like, they've been toying around there with saying that the belts are unified, but there's still two belts. Like,
yeah,
with Raw and SmackDown, it's supposed to be a brand split. So everybody on Raw is supposed to be going for the Raw belts. Everybody on SmackDown is supposed to be going for the SmackDown belts, and they're separate entities. In the last few months, they've been kind of like mixing it up a little bit, and there's been rumors that the brand split is over, but we're kind of confused as to how that could happen, since Raw is owned by NBC Universal and SmackDown is owned by Fox. So it just doesn't really make sense how they can both license some of the same characters and stuff like that. So, and they haven't had any clarification about that. But right now, all of the men's belts, which are like one from each brand, are on these three people. And we don't know what's going to happen. And they've had them for so long. We don't know. So at SummerSlam, there's a chance that something might change hands, but we don't know. We don't know that if, say, somebody beats the Usos, if when they win, they'll take both belts, or if they'll take one belt and they'll just put it back up again. We have no clue at this point.
Or if they'll have like two matches, one to defend the Raw Tag Team Championships, one to defend the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Yeah. It's all so kind of funny to me, because I feel like the longer that they hold them, it's like, where are all the other tag teams? Where are all the other people who want a challenge? Like, aren't they kind of upset that this is happening?
Exactly. So
it is strange seeing them have all of that, and no one's even coming out to like confront them or attack them or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, and so like me and Matt said, they're very established stars, so they probably just didn't feel like
That probably drew more on like just the familiarity with the fan base that like Ariel and I didn't have.
Yeah.
I have a question real quick about theories, like potential use of the of Money in the Bank briefcase, because he's making mention of like the Brock Lesnar and the Roman Reigns of it all. Is that at all like, because you had mentioned, Mari, like the most famous use of the briefcase, is that kind of all linked in a way? Like you had said like Roman Reigns challenged, I think, Brock Lesnar that one time,
or? Yeah. So the reason why we're not hyped up about this Brock and Roman match that's coming up on SummerSlam is because they've done it over and over and over again. Yeah. That most famous cash-in came in at WrestleMania 31, and it was one of the first times that they have fought. Since then, they fought like, is it two or three other times at WrestleMania, Matt? It's at
too
least
too many times.
Exactly. It's been at least two. And then one of those feuds went from WrestleMania to SummerSlam. Like, and then like Roman and Brock Lesnar have fought so many times, it's just not fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, they are two of the biggest names in WWE. And it almost feels like WWE feels like they can only lose to each other. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like they are not building smaller stars to like topple. Like Roman has been the champion for like 600 some days. Like it's been 2 years of him being a champion. He just got the double belt. Like he was originally the blue belt. That's what he's held for 600 days. The black belt, the WWE title, he just won from Brock Lesnar at this past WrestleMania. So about 3 months ago.
They're too big to fail.
Yeah, so that's why it's just kind of like
that was a metaphor.
Yeah, I was going to say
the ladder was not a metaphor, but I figure out the money and the bank, that those are metaphors.
Yeah,
and then we work in money. Wall Street, and it all ties together. I feel like I see the string. The string behind you, Amanda. You have a dialogue just tying all the ideas.
Yes,
together.
I do. I have I have one of those. The Charlie Day.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Good Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
And so what's happening is Brock and Roman are doing what's called a last man standing match, which is basically like it's a no holds bar. They can use anything or whatever to just beat each other up. And the thing is, one man has to be down. One man has to be standing. And it's a 10-second count. It's not a 3-minute. It's not a 3-second pin. It's a 10-second count. So that's why it's like one of the most brutal matches you can really get into. So that's why Theory keeps teasing, like, I'm going to cash in because they're going to be at their, you know, they're going to be at their worst. They're going to be one person going to be down for 10 seconds. The other one, you know, I don't know if he realizes, you know, you got to beat the person that's standing. Like if that's the case, if you wait until the match is over, you have to beat the person that's standing. Yeah.
Like, to be fair though, that also took me a minute to figure out. I was like, oh, it's perfect. He'll be laying there on the ground.
Right.
Sit down.
Yeah. So like if he waits till the match is over, then the bell has to ring. The person who's counted for 10 will be down, but he'll have to beat the person that's standing. So it whatever. So I don't think he'll do it then, to be quite honest. Like heels do not give you that much time. What they do is play like he did, bring their music out, stuff like that. I think he's just saying it. I think they're saying it so that he get more eyes on the premium event, to be quite honest.
Maybe, but also Austin Theory's character is more of a, like, you know, if in the context of like brains, brawn, beauty, he's bringing more of the brawn and not the brains.
Mm-hmm. And what about the beauty, Matt?
I was about to say, he's just the beauty.
Debatable.
Yeah. but yeah.
He's no maximum male model.
No, he is no maximum.
I can't wait to talk about that.
We're close. We're getting there. So I can definitely see this being like a Miz where like Theory gets so close. Like Theory is one of those people I could see getting into the ring, almost about to hand the briefcase to the ref and be like, no. And then like walk out. Like that's how
that's not dramatic at all though.
I think that's what he's going to do. All right. So that's it for our, the recap for the Money in the Bank briefcase winners. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back with a very fun, very special segment of the show. All right, we're back, and just a reminder, these are the highlights of the week. Every week we highlight the week in wrestling, and all of these clips that we're talking about you can find in a very handy playlist in the show description or the show notes, either on our YouTube or in your podcast description boxes. So we have decided to play a little game. I'm going to call it casual ratings. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good
Matt,
one.
Really.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. It's called Casual Ratings with Dr. Amanda and Ariel. This was inspired by at Erin M. Payton on Twitter over the weekend. She went viral because on the Friday before Money in the Bank, she just randomly turned on SmackDown and decided to like tweet SmackDown as somebody who never watched wrestling in her whole entire life. And so she did a whole tweet thread about SmackDown, and it was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen as a like a wrestling person. She had all these wrestling Twitter in her comments like, this was so great, you have to live tweet Money in the Bank, because Money in the Bank was the next day. And they actually did. They convinced her to live tweet Money in the Bank, and it was again another hilarious thread. She was giving people people names just based on what they were wearing. It was just so funny to see like a casual be like, what is happening? Oh my God, the ladder. And then she was like,
it's not a metaphor. It's a yeah. ladder.
Exactly. I see you getting ideas over there too.
Amanda's like violently writing stuff down right now. She's
like, okay, setting up the Twitter account as we speak.
She was giving wrestlers funny names, just because she didn't know any of the names, so she was giving them just based on appearances and stuff like that. And it was really great. It was good. It was still funny. It wasn't like bad. So because of that thread, we have asked Amanda and Ariel to describe to us what they see in these following clips and okay. to rate them based on how much they enjoy them. But Dr. Amanda has her own little rating, so we'll ask her to explain it. Maybe mm-hmm. Ariel can follow along with her mm-hmm. and try and give the same ratings. But we're going to try and have you guys explain it to us. We're going to have you give us your ratings first, and then talk about, you know, give the concrete stuff afterwards. So Dr. Amanda, explain to us how you analyze these clips when you
saw it. So I considered three mm-hmm. different components of Ooh. Every clip. So I considered theatrics, athleticism, and brutality.
Ooh,
so okay. like if something was high on theatrics and athleticism, then it would have gotten a higher overall rating. But if it was too high on brutality, I would have taken away because I don't like seeing people get really badly hurt.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that was my little system. And then there were some clips that were just like, not like wrestling at all, like
at all.
Hot dogs,
yeah. yeah.
which were kind of like, okay, no spoilers, but like, so yeah. maybe I didn't give all of them like an athleticism rating because it mm-hmm. wasn't applicable, but that was my little homegrown system that I came up with.
Yes. So,
theatrics, athleticism, and brutality.
Tab. And brutality. Yes the tab system.
Mm-hmm. Patented.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so, Ariel, what were you thinking about when you were rating some of these clips?
I was thinking about how much am I laughing? Like how much is this entertaining? Like some of the names, like I don't know. I'm a big, like something, I don't even know what to call it. Like something that's like an onomatopoeia or something that's something that sounds
nice. Yeah.
to my brain is just very funny. Like for whatever reason, the name Gable is just very funny to me. So it's just like that. And then, the name thing and the sound, something about like the that part of it, and also just how mean some of these people are. I guess for the heels specifically, mm-hmm. like how successful are you at being like mean and funny? Because it's a very sensitive scale. Like just to be mean is one thing, but like to get like the humor part of it successfully, I feel like I'm giving advice to bullies now, but that's not what I'm doing. It's just, and like, honestly, some of these bits are, I enjoy more than the actual like matches. Cause it's just,
I love
unhinged.
These. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that stuff. And I'd be happy totally. To put more, to like piggyback off of some of Amanda's like incredible work as well.
Okay, no, great. We like that. So we have the tab system mm-hmm. and then we have the lens system, laughter, nice. Entertainment, names, sounds, mm-hmm. and then also meanness is also there. Yes. Lens plus mean.
So, all right, great. And so we'll do like from like 1 to 5 bells, like for rating. There we go.
And, overall
rating.
Whatever your scale is. Yeah.
Yes. And these clips are specifically picked because one of like wrestling's, especially for the WWE, their biggest thing is they want to bring in casual audiences. They want more people to watch. So these are the segments that are supposed to be quote unquote like for casuals, some of them, you know, AEW is a little bit different, but it's like, I wanted to pick these specific segments because I wanted to see how they resonate with people who don't necessarily have context. All right. So we'll get into our first set of clips and we're going to rate the clips because they're storylines overall. So it's the overall storyline. There might be three clips. There might be two clips. There might just be one clip, but it's the storyline overall. So our first set of clips are the 4th of July shenanigans. Each year, WWE, every time on a holiday, they always do a 4th of July cookout or something, and something always goes awry. So let's start with Amanda. Yes. What are we seeing in these span of these three clips?
Yeah. So this is like, so there's going to be, this is going to culminate. We're going to start like with some. So can you just remind me of what these people's names are so I can get those right? Because my notes are a little bit.
Yes. So it's Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins, who are the Street Profits in the jerseys. And then Otis and Chad Gable, who are American Alpha.
Well, nope. Now he's Gable.
Oh, they sorry. Gable. Sorry. He lost his first name somewhere.
He lost his first name. Yep.
Right. So, I mean, there is, this is some like good, you know, natured cookout stuff happening, but then Gable and Otis are going to come in and this is going to culminate in a challenge to a hot dog eating contest. There's a little bit of like, you know, there's a lot of like, kind of calling to like, this isn't what the 4th of July is about. And this is America. But that it's going to culminate in a hot dog eating contest.
Yes. Which Akira Tozawa ends up winning, which is very interesting. They had the
interesting they had, is one word for it, Mark.
Slightly insane.
Yeah, Angelo Dawkins is going to successfully eat 22 hot dogs. Otis is going to eat 23 hot dogs. Oh. And Akira Tozawa eats 48 hot dogs.
Yes.
More than twice as many.
Yes. I was surprised, by the way, I just want to say, because Otis did say that he could suck them down like a Coca-Cola, which I don't understand why he would say that, but
it's really hard to chug carbonated things. I feel like people forget that. That's like not like an easy thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So.
Yes. So yes, and they have the eating hot dog eating contest, but it also ends in a match, and then the match ends with Otis puking all over Chad Gable.
So.
Unnecessary.
So vile. Like, so, I mean, this was really like, this looked, and they replay it. So
over
you really,
and over.
So you really get a look.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. It looks like puke. Like, I don't know what is this real puke?
Yeah. And of all
quite
days.
Possibly could be, to be quite honest.
Disgusting. On America's birthday? On America's birthday?
I was dying. This is checking so many boxes for me. I feel like it's telling like, I feel like it, the only way I can defend it is like, I was a child when I first got into wrestling. And now like my brain kind of like reverts back to like that state of mind, because this was perfect. Like, even just the extras at the beginning hanging out in the background of the hot dog eating contest, I am living for all the dumb stuff they are doing, all the faces they are making. I was like, this is incredible for me. Gable getting slapped, like, that's just funny to me. Like, you're obviously the villain. You deserve to get slapped. The throwing up, I have to say, like, the I don't feel so good coming. Who did this to my number one guy? And then when he finally... That smell is disgusting from the commentator.
Like you can smell it all the way
from the processed meat.
Ariel loved it.
This is 7 out of 5 bells. This is incredible. I love it.
7 out of 5.
You're eating it up like it's 48 hot dogs, Ariel.
And
you broke the scale before you even started.
I'm so sorry.
Gosh.
Dave Meltzer over here.
Yeah.
Wow. I gave this
3 bells. Like, I'll say, like, I love anything corny. Like, I love these clips. Like, I love like the corny, like, you know, theatrics of it all. But like, it was too gross.
Yeah.
It was just too gross.
Yeah. And I feel like phrasing is what I want to say to you, Amanda, because corny is not what you want to hear when you're staring at this like picture of him.
No, don't show it.
Yeah, it's not.
Were they
great.
Corn dogs or were there chunks of corn?
There was definitely corn at the cookout. So
it definitely read to me, I just want to say this very quickly, to the point of it being like real puke or not, it definitely read to me of one of those like SNL things where like it was pre-prepared and he had it ready, but it wasn't necessarily coming from like the innards, so to speak.
Yeah.
No, well, you didn't think it was coming like from the from down deep.
Are you doing deep. Like the puke splatter analysis?
Is I'm on
like,
puke watch.
Did you this learn this from the staircase, Ariel?
Like this how is to what analyze? My doctorate is in. Yes.
Puke watch.
He was in the ring after with a,
like
a, with
a, like measuring the distance between the puke splatter.
I'm doing like the string from like the blood splatter to see if it like makes sense for like it to have gone this far.
Ariel is like the Dexter
And so, Mari doesn't like this because it like, isn't crime I'm, scene and Sarah Carradine isn't here for this. Is that what's
puke,
wrong?
I can't do it. I'm the type.
No, I can't
I'm the type that starts like dry heaving when. But
yeah, but not on
this
podcast.
The reason why the funny thing about this is that like please. Vince McMahon had a wrestler on his roster
who oh no
gimmick was just making himself puke. His name was Draws
no.
back in the day. He
what was his name?
Draws. But
so wait, this was like a frequent thing, like puking in the ring.
Yeah. For him, like this, that was his, like he was a mid-carder that got like no airtime. And then one day he showed Vince McMahon that he could puke on command. And Vince McMahon laughed so hard, he kept putting
That's
him out there.
Healthy.
Oh my God.
And putting him in situations to puke on demand.
It's not okay. No. And it's wrong. And I just have to say, there's some things that I have to see. Because I put the pictures up on the podcast and I'm not going to post the picture of him puking into a trash can, but I am putting up the picture of Vince McMahon yelling him to puke into the trash can.
Oh. So,
yeah, this is on a documentary.
Yes,
this
Beyond, is on, like, the a, mat.
Beyond the Mat. There it is.
The documentary. And he's like, he's gonna puke. He's gonna puke.
I don't think I like this Vince McMahon character.
No, this is the thing that got you.
This was it. I was on the fence. No. I was not on the fence.
Yeah, 25 years ago. So
yeah, Beyond the Mat, 25 years ago.
To be clear, I'm a fan of the hot dog storyline, but this I cannot abide.
This, okay, great. All right, so let's move on. So I mean, pretty good. That's an average rating.
That was an average because Ariel gave it a 7.
Over. Yeah.
I mean, I really gave it a 5 because you know you can only average out of 5. Not
it's
the,
okay. All right. So next we have Gunther destroys R-Truth, and then later punishes Ludwig Kaiser on SmackDown. So Ariel, can you describe what we're getting in these Gunther clips?
I will describe certainly my favorite part,
please.
Which is I believe it's R-Truth, right?
Truth,
is doing this like, little monologue about about Independence Day, not the holiday, or yes, about the holiday, but actually the movie itself. He's talking about, and we'll get to my favorite part, but he's talking about he's going to make the famous speech from I think it's Bill Pullman, who like you know like, not on our day, whatever, and he shouts out Will Smith. But when he shouts out our queen, Vivica A. Fox, I was like, yes, this is the only Independence Day that I care about. This is my Independence Day. But you know, it's going to go, it's going to go badly for him. Like something's got to happen. And then Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving me like question marks. Like I don't understand like what he's thinking. I don't understand his motivations. He's very tall. I'm getting that.
Matt,
like he's
Matt,
very like
Gunther
yeah,
photo.
I'm looking Gunther. For Gunther. I'm looking
Lord.
For Gunther. Going.
Come on
Matt's,
now, Matt.
Matt's still puking.
Mari runs a tight ship over here, Matt. Come
I know,
on.
I'm like
I don't know
time
what's going
codes.
On.
And, I'm writing time codes for things too. Like, come on.
Yes. Sorry, but keep going, Ariel.
Yes. So Gunther doesn't like, I guess, Vivica A. Fox. He's not a fan. And he's going to ruin the celebration. He's going to pull off the wig. And he's basically going to, like, put on, a match that wasn't supposed to happen, right? This is very, like, impromptu, right? Of just, I'm going to beat you up now, like, because you're making me upset and I'm taller than you.
Yes.
Yeah,
this is your quintessential, like, it's an American holiday. We're going to throw our foreign heel out there. Like, this is... Gunther is Austrian, I believe. And he is our current intercontinental champion.
Yes.
Amanda, what did you think about this?
I gave this one a 3. I thought that the theatrics were good. But like, I felt like the Xena phobia stuff is like
that,
I don't love that. And like I did, and like Gunter is like makes me really uncomfortable. Like he looks it looks like he's really recruiting people. And so yes. That got some brutality points, which detracts from my scores, obviously.
Explain the second clip, Amanda.
The second clip?
Yeah. Of Gunter and Ludwig.
Oh, that one, I hated this one.
Yes,
explain. I hated this one. This was like very high on the brutality here. I think I gave this a 5 on brutality here. Like there's a lot of smack. Like this was my least favorite thing. Like all this stuff with Gunter and Ludwig, I didn't like this. So that got it. My favorite part of the previous one was like my favorite passage from the Constitution is welcome to Earth. And I think after time that we've been having with the Supreme Court, we can all agree that's the best.
Yes. So later on SmackDown, Ludwig Kaiser had a match with Shinsuke Nakamura in order to for Shinsuke to get a shot at Ludwig's Intercontinental Championship. Shinsuke actually won. He beat Ludwig, which means that hopefully it means we're getting Shinsuke versus Gunter at SummerSlam, which would be a
right.
That match is gonna be wild. It's gonna be great.
This one I rated, like this was the Nakamura versus Kaiser match. Yes. I think this one I actually rated a 1. I don't know if I was supposed to rate this or not, but this had like high brutality and low theatrics, which I was like, no, not here for that. I want something to be very goofy, and I want it to be very clear that nobody actually got hurt.
Yeah.
He looked like he got hurt a lot.
Yes, because after Ludwig loses, Gunther punishes him in the middle of the ring by delivering 3 chops to Ludwig.
And that's rude. It's
very rude, but the reason that this is like very like intense is because Gunther, formerly known as Walter on the British independent scene, is known for having like one of the hardest chops like ever. Like the chops that he was chopping with Ludwig was real. That was real hitting. And so Shinsuke Nakamura, who is formerly of like All Japan Pro Wrestling, I think it was, or NJPW, one of the two, he was also formerly known as the King of Strong Style. What strong style wrestling normally means you're like actually like hitting people. So the fact that these two guys are about to face off means we're going to get a very snug match where there's going to be a lot of like actual hitting. And I don't like actual hitting.
We
don't like that.
But I do like it when Shinsuke and Gunther does it because they're safe at it. They're safe at it.
They are very experienced. They both have
very
like
experience.
I don't know. I wouldn't say they each have like 20 years experience.
20 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm
just going to point out like 20 years experience, great for being able to do what you do well,
but bad for CTE reasons. I didn't give my rating, so very quickly.
What's your number?
R-Truth is giving me like again like 7 out of 5, so I give him a 5. Like that stuff is hilarious. And then Gunther in that first clip, he was like giving me like a 3. So it averages to like a 4 for that clip. But then we get Gunther giving the slaps, and you know I live for sound. So I was dying. Like anytime like somebody, don't even ask me why, but anytime somebody like smacks someone, especially in the chest, like such a loud sound.
And Ariel. Wow. I'm like,
this is too violent
incredible.
For me.
This is incredible. It's so funny. But the reason it's funny is that you know it's fake, although apparently Gunther's are not as fake. But Gunther, you know, he lost me in the first half, but I came back for him in the second
half. He likes the slaps.
I'm going to give the chops and the slaps a 5.
Okay, so overall for that storyline, what are you going to give it?
Between a 4 and a 5, so it's a 4.5 for me.
Wow.
All right, nice. Yeah. No, I get it. Like, the chops, like Ric Flair was known for his chops as well. Like chops are such a visceral thing, and they're always done snug. They're always done to chess because it's the one thing that you can safely do to chess, and your opponent knows they're coming. And the goal is to always make the loudest sound. You want to try and not like, you know, you don't want to injure the person, but
are they better when you have like a lot of like like red, muscle, like
redness. Well, I don't know, but it's
I feel like the moisture or the wetness like makes a louder sound.
I'll have to try that later.
I don't feel like I'm going to see you completely differently, Ariel, after this podcast experience.
Amanda, I will never chop you. I will never.
And the thing is, they're also oiled up too. So
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I know.
As long as I'm not oiled up,
I think I'm safe around Ariel.
I would never chop you without your consent, ever.
All right. Okay.
That's really sweet.
So next up, we get Logan Paul signs with the WWE and he comes for The Miz. Dr. Amanda, do you want to set us up for this? This is we're giving you like some matches. Some are just storyline setups. But
So here Logan Paul is going to sign his contract and he's going to make it like very clear that he is not going to team up with The Miz, that he's coming for The Miz. He's going to take him out. And then later we're going to get The Miz getting interviewed about his reaction to Logan Paul challenging him. And he is like loving it and eating it up. And he's like saying, you know, come for me. Basically, he's going to challenge him back in like a long interview segment. I think, is that all we got, Mari, from that storyline? Yep. Mm-hmm. I thought The Miz was like the funniest performer that we saw in any of these clips. Like I thought his like whole look was hilarious. I loved like the way he like reveled in like his lines here. I thought he did like a great job like delivering and selling this like incredibly like, again, corny, but this time there's no chunks of corn, Matt.
Right.
this corny smack talk dialogue. Also, I don't know anything about Logan Paul, but I hate him instantly. Like I don't like this man.
That is the correct observation.
So even though The Miz is like clearly also giving heelish vibes, I'm like, yeah, come for him. Like he seems like a total dick. So I like this one. I liked what The Miz was bringing. And so Logan Paul like brings it down a little bit because like, I just look at his dumb hair. Like, I don't like this man. But I think it still comes out as like a 5 for me because I thought The Miz was like so cartoonishly villainous here. And I thought that was fun.
Ariel, do you recognize The Miz?
I do recognize The Miz. Mm-hmm. I think around the time where he was first coming into, well, obviously from the from his reality show days, but I was still dabbling in and out when he was starting to make his wrestling debut. Mm-hmm. And I just imagine in my head, whether or not this is actually true, but I just imagine that he always brings up like his reality show because for him to bring it up here is so funny to me. Checking in after all this time, he definitely gets a 5 from me personally for his humor. And like Dr. Amanda said, it's just, he's selling it so well. Like, yes, we're all in on this stupid nonsense corniness, but I'm so good at it and you're enjoying it. So this is all great. Logan Paul, no. Like, automatic 2 is the high for him. Like, and I don't even know that he met that threshold, but I will just be generous and give him the 2.
Wow.
Just personally, no. Like, that's all I have to say.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Gosh.
They're both giving fashion, though. I feel like that's, you know, that's what The Miz is all about. He's all about fashion. You know, Logan Paul, I'm specifically thinking of WrestleMania this year where they teamed together. And straight up fashion. They're both dressed like yellow jackets, like bumblebees here. And it was fantastic. This is the moment, or not the moment, but the end of this match was really when The Miz turned on Logan Paul, which was a nice moment because, you know, they're both heels. But then, like you're saying, Amanda, Logan Paul's face, it just gives you punchable. So, it was nice to see.
He's already more palatable standing next to The Miz here in this picture. Like, it's like, okay.
Yeah. He's getting reflective Miz glow. Like, it feels like Miz, I don't know, just from the limited that I've seen of both of them, like, I just feel like Logan Paul is maybe he's a heel, but like, he thinks that he's actually cool and great. Cool. Whereas, like, The Miz is just like embracing. Racing, like,
yes. oh, he's I'm in on it. He's in on
yeah, like yes. Logan Paul, I think thinks he's hot shit and like, yeah. No, not like, here for it.
Exactly. Yeah, like one of them's definitely a nice guy in real life and the other is not. I'll let you figure out who's who.
Mike the Miz, Mike. Formerly of Michael. Real World New York fame, the Challenge fame, and of course wrestling, and now his own show, Miz and Mrs. They think Logan Paul is going to bring in casuals. I'm like, maybe not the right type.
Casual problematic people.
Star. Is that what his thing is?
Yeah,
sure. He has a brother named Jake. They look almost exactly alike. It's hard to tell them apart.
And I don't like both of them. That's all I
equally as punchable. Sorry to say.
Yeah.
I literally didn't really know much of anything about them other than like controversial, problematic things. Uh-oh, like, yeah, but
that's like zero surprising.
And now they're in wrestling, which is completely, completely unproblematic here.
All right. And then finally from Raw, this is just pure Asuka versus Becky Lynch. They're in a no holds bar match. It is just the match, and it's just a lot of props. So, Ariel, what did we think here?
Yes.
Love, love, love. You know I love sounds. Chairs are very loud. This is giving me like conference room terribleness. Like this is just, when they're laying on the chairs, and then like the other one is come, and then like you know it's coming, like where she's raising the chair up and then she's gonna get hit because she's being so slow about it.
Yeah.
Chairs are weird for me because I'm like, it's fake, right?
Sit. They're supposed to sit in them. That's the thing. You're supposed to sit in them.
Sitting in them, but no, they're sitting in the pain. That's what they're sitting in. And
ouch.
When you bring out the trash can. And then, I mean, and I didn't even realize it was Asuka the Grouch. Like, that's the full name. According to the commentator. Your opponent in the trash can, I was like, this is a 10. This is a 10 out of 5. Like, this is so good. I love it. It's so entertaining. Clearly, there's, like, all this tension and history between them that comes across, even though I'm not, like, aware of all of it.
Oh, that's great.
And it's an incredibly entertaining match, and I have nothing bad to say. I loved it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that both of these women, these women were like super compelling. This got like high ratings for me for the athletic. So if you're following along with the tab system,
yes,
I gave this a 4 for theatrics, a 5 for athleticism. I loved like both of their costumes. Like I thought that they looked great, and I like loved like some of the goofiness, like the umbrella opening was really fun. This had a 5 for brutality. Like the chairs, like anytime somebody's getting hit with an object, it makes me nervous. Like the garbage can, like I know it's probably actually like a safe kind of buffer for taking the blows, but it just like looks so like dehumanizing to have somebody like hiding in a literal garbage can. Like we get like the folding table breaking. Like this was like very entertaining, but in a very gross, uncomfortable way. But I did like both of these. Like I thought both of these performers, like, I don't know, even though I hadn't seen a lot of them, like they were both very compelling to me. So somehow this gets a 4 for me, even though it had a 5 for brutality, which usually docks points. But I think it's like a testament to these two women that they kind of sold this match so much.
Yeah. I love what you pointed out, which I don't think I've ever heard anyone point out with a trash can in wrestling over someone's head. Like how dehumanizing it is to have your head put in a trash can. It's like true bully moves.
Yeah.
And obviously, Becky was not too happy about it. Just after the match, seeing her seething. Like, and these photos from WWE.com are like amazing because you're able to like see moment by moment, frame by frame, like even their faces and their reactions. And Becky with the green mist on her face, even though she apparently had the umbrella block it. Yes, so that's kind of odd.
She blocked the full thing.
It didn't get in her eyes, but it apparently. Yeah. Covered her mouth and hair and everything else. So, but yeah, it's like you can see the intensity, and like that is what Becky Lynch and Asuka are constantly giving.
Yes, exactly.
This was rough, though. This was hard to watch. Like, so many rough bumps. Oh, I loved it. But
Matt, I was going to say, Matt, stop pretending to be squeamish. No. Like, this is it.
On his best behavior for me, Mari.
Well, no, this one was hard to watch because, like, if you just look back at the match, like, and I wrote down all these different hard-hitting spots because normally, like, it's not like every single week they have hard-hitting matches. Like, there was the exploder suplex onto the chairs. Hip attack through the barricade, lots of chair shots, which were like nothing, you know, whatever, it's a chair shot. But like the superplex onto the chairs, Mari, this is kind of a lot compared to what we normally see.
Yeah, exactly. And this is good. This was perfect for, I think they're blowing off their feud. I don't know. But hopefully. Becky Lynch and Asuka have been feuding since Asuka came back in like April or something like that. May, I don't know. But like, so this is their no holds bar match. I hope it means that they're not feuding with each other anymore, but I don't know where they go from here. But I thought it was a great blow off match if that's going to be the case. Mm-hmm. And those women are so good at working. Like they're so good at working and they work really safe. And it was going around on Twitter, a video I should have sent it to you guys of after the match was over, them checking on each other.
Aww. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to see that. Like for my emotional like letdown from all of Mari. This, like, everyone's friends, everyone's safe. It's okay.
It's the Ponderosa. We need the Ponderosa.
I don't want you guys to think it's so much. It's just it's a squeeze. It's a squeeze.
Yeah, and I was gonna say Mari, like in the. I feel like half the reason why they were like, oh, they're checking on each other. Cause it's literally like, you know, they're laying there after the pin, after this slam through the table, after everything. And, you know, Becky like squeezes like Asuka's shoulder. I think that why people might have been sharing it, Mari, was because like Asuka kind of like squeezed Becky's.
She kind of grabbed her boob. Yeah, she did.
I think that's why they were sharing. Cause I was like, why is this a story? That's, I think, why.
It was a little bit of a boob grab.
Boobs can turn anything into a story.
Literally. Literally.
I sent it to you guys on Twitter.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, big props to the women here. No, what? Okay.
I'm just saying. wrestling Twitter is very bizarre.
It is weird. So next up, we're going to go over to AEW for a second. Mm-hmm. And Wardlow wins the TNT Championship match here. So it's Dr. Amanda's turn. What did you think when you saw this clip?
Yeah, so this is like it's Wardlow's world, right? Like he's going to, oh my gosh, this one, like, I don't know. There's
it was
Wardlow and there's a bunch of other guys. I think some of them were supposed to be in the match. Some of them like were like kind of rando in like street clothes. Like eventually he's gonna like take down his straps, like that's what I was like, he throws a guy out of the ring. This was brutality was a 5. Mm-hmm. The athleticism was a 4. I thought, you know, like these are strong guys. Mm-hmm. The theatrics I gave like a 2, so this gets like an overall score of a 2 for me. Like this was just like, I don't know, I was not enjoying this. Mm-hmm. It was like a little bit too gross.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Ariel?
I am living in Wardlow's world. Like, I just, he's like, it's like cartoonish to see him lift a man and then throw him onto 7 other people and they all fall down. Like, it's so good. And it's like, I feel like it's hard to make that look easy. You know, to make that convincingly easy. Him taking out, like, this is to my vague scale, like the bullying, the hilariousness of like being a good bully, like being a good heel, I guess. Taking out his scrunchie of his hair, let his hair down. Then like taking down the straps and then pinning the guy down with his foot. I was like, this is a boss move. I have never seen this personally that I remember.
I want to ask, though, how did you feel about the side ponytail that Wardlow had going on there a little bit for a while?
In the beginning, honestly, I think him letting it down helped a lot. Like it was a little too tight. It was a little too high. The side pony. I feel like it was affecting his ability to breathe, frankly.
Probably.
I'm not a huge fan of this hairstyle. I must admit.
I think it's not great.
Yeah, it's like I don't feel like his hair is like thick and luscious enough to like pull off this length.
It's like a wisp.
Mm-hmm. He's got that one wisp, but that's his look. It's definitely a strong choice, a bold choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, well, Ariel, did you give your rating?
As far as effectiveness as a bully, he's a 5 for me. I enjoyed it.
Technically, he's the good guy, though.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well, there you go. See? Well, then good. That's justice.
It's giving some bully energy. I will say, though, I wonder, just putting it out there to everyone here, did we feel like he was Mari, what is it that he says that he wants to draw in the 18 to 49 women, or what's the demographic?
Yeah, so
I
think that's
wait, 18 to 49 women, that's a lot, that's a big chunk.
I mean, he's a big guy.
It's based on demos and ratings. Yes. So
I was like, he sounds like an advertising agency.
Yeah, AEW, they're obsessed with ratings over there. So a few weeks back, Wardlow said that he wants to be the reason he's drawing more women. Like AEW draws more women because a great friend of the podcast, Lo from the Wrestling Wind Down, has started the Wardlow War Daddy like fan club, and she kind of posts thirst traps about Wardlow. Uh-huh. And Wardlow loves it. You know, they're trying to
Wrestling Wind Down.
Yes, Wrestling Wind Down, friends of the podcast.
Whoa, yes.
And they're seeing that there has been a rise in the ratings since they've been pushing him, because he's a very attractive man and stuff like that. Mm. And he normally dresses in like a suit, very cute. They're pushing him as a face now. And if you saw, like, when once he won this belt, you saw they got the confetti. This is a mid-card title that they're acting like he's the world champion. That's how much they like are putting stock behind him. Now, I would argue that he should have been going after the interim world championship from AEW, but that's neither here nor there. He is their mid-card champ, the TNT champion. This is his first belt. This was a big thing. What was happening is Scorpio Sky, the previous champion, he had American Top Team with him. He had American Top Team, Dan Lambert, and All Ego Ethan Page there to kind of like, they're the bullies. They're the ones who are ganging up on Wardlow. And they're trying to protect Scorpio Sky. The weirdest thing was them like kind of waiting in line to come at Wardlow just for him to knock them down. Like that was
we love when that happens in wrestling. That constantly happens.
Constantly. Yeah. So that was Wardlow overcoming the odds to get the baby face.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's one woman in this demo who's given Wardlow 2 big thumbs down, but I'm glad he's got the rest of us.
Wow. And I will say, apparently, you know, according to Lo from Wrestling Wind Down on Twitter at WWDcast, she retweeted something that mentions that AEW's women 18 to 34 demographics were up 50.7% from the previous week, I guess. So, look, I'm just saying the War Daddy is doing something for somebody, but not Dr. Amanda.
Not me.
Some of these women are gonna be looking at his hair and he needs to fix it. That's all I will say.
Maybe they can relate. You know, side ponies.
It's normally like a little wetter, I think. Like
a little wetter. Okay.
Yeah.
More product.
Yeah. You let it dry too much.
Exactly. Yeah. All the wrestling kind of probably dried it out there.
dried it out. Wow.
Yeah.
It did look like straw, you know, it wasn't great.
Next up, we have the Acclaimed and the Gun Club. They break up. So, Ariel. Holding up?
Yeah, wait. First of all,
well, they're together, then they broke up. Yeah.
It was a lot.
Yeah, this one was a little bit more amorphous to me. I couldn't quite like figure out, because like Gun Club and the Acclaimed, if I was like understanding it correctly, they arrived together.
Yes, in the first clip.
And then which I don't know about all of that and the scissoring the and the I don't know the wrapping zero. No, absolutely not. The scissoring, I don't quite understand. It's giving a little bit toxic. I'm not really sure what the gist of it is. And then they fight. At first, I thought they were fighting each other, but I'm like, wait, they're arriving together. This makes no sense. But they are fighting the country, the bear country boys.
It does not matter.
I'm like, what okay, bears? What animal are they fighting? And then they turn on each other. If I understand that correctly,
yeah. In the next clip, yep.
I wasn't quite sure what was going on, and I think I was turned off by the beginning, by like their introduction, Gun Club and Acclaim specifically. But I have to very
you didn't
quickly
like
call
the
out,
ass boys.
I will very quickly call out. Oh my god!
Oh my god!
What's that supposed to? Never mind.
When the commentator was like, "Celebrate Pride Month. Scan this QR code to participate." Like yes, this is the it's best. Like, this is like the best spot. This is the best possible like group of people to air this Celebrate Pride Month thing over. I was dying.
Oh my gosh! I mean, it was giving that energy. It was giving that energy. A lot of ass, though. I have to say.
Yeah. So, Ariel, I don't know if you may realize, but that's Billy Gunn. That's a badass Billy Gunn. He was formerly a BX.
The old guy. Yes, yes. The old. I knew immediately. Yes. I was like, that face is like that's a. I need to Google that image, and then I was able to pick it up.
Known as Mr. Ass. Yes. That's his two sons. The gun. That's why they're the gun club.
The two asses.
The ass
boys. Yeah. That's why they're the ass boys. What they came out with the Acclaim. Oh. Yeah. So what was your rating for the storyline here?
The name Mr. Ass, like that's a five in and of itself, but that's just for the name. But I would say overall, this was like maybe a three.
Five for the name.
Like just because you know the name. I don't know. I'm a child. This is me, my child brain. So the name Mr. Ass is making me giggle, but like. The storyline itself, I was kind of like not as compelled by overall, and like the breakup wasn't, as far as I saw it, particularly dramatic or impactful. So
yeah,
you know, kind of like middle of the road for me personally.
Yeah, I gave this two bells. Again, this was like low ratings for the theatrics, higher ratings for the brutality. That is, look, hey, now take note, wrestlers, if you want to win my ratings, this is the Dr. Amanda formula. It's like high theatrics, low brutality. So this one got a two bells from me. Sorry, ass boys.
All right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this was all a lot. And I think even having like Billy Gunn go in there and like stop his sons, but then also dad was doing a lot. He is like 60 years old, by the way, which is kind of insane for how good he looks.
I hope that the majority of what he's doing is just like rolling that wheelchair around and taking like minimal impact to his brain.
No, he's probably doing like a lot of trampoline jumps, you know, that's like a thing. Ooh, that the older
right, keeping the joints like keeping the joints loose.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they just jump up and down. That's the thing that they do.
Okay.
Yeah. So Billy Gunn was like he was with the Acclaimed, I think, and then the Guns came up and they were together. They were working together because they are all heels. So in that first, clip when they arrive, they're all heels. That's why the rap is very problematic on so many levels. Yes. And then on top of that, they kept getting the city name wrong.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that I thought was really funny, especially because the commentator was then saying, we're in right. Rochester, New York. Like he said it like six or seven times in just the clip.
Yeah. So and then what happened in the second clip was the Gun Club turns on the Acclaim, making the Acclaim like faces. So, and that's where it's leaning. They're turning faces. All right. Yeah. So we're going to hop on over to SmackDown. We're going to try and finish this up. I'm going to just break from type because I want to hear Ariel talk about the introducing the maximum male models. Just kidding. He's already done. We've taken Ariel out. Okay,
this is incredible on so many levels. First of all, I recognized Max Dupree and I went on this whole deep dive because I was like, where do I know him from?
Oh my gosh.
And then it was because I had seen that The Rock reality show, I think it's called The Star or The Action Star, I can't remember, that he was on. Sean, I think his name is Sean Ricker, something like that.
Really?
And then I was like, oh my God, it's that guy. And I only saw a few.
No, is that him?
But clearly it left an impression. And then earlier when we were talking about, because then I went on this whole deep dive and I realized he was supposed to be on Glow season 3, which made me even more sad that like it got canceled. The names, like, this is so funny to me, like the introducing these male models. Mace is now Mace and Mansoor is now Mansoir. I was like dying laughing. It's so dumb. It's so effective. Like, I love it. It's an automatic 5. All the like stuff about the, let's not forget the ankle, like, and the commentator, I don't even know what to say. Like, it's just incredible. And then to bring up, I have to say, I'm a huge tennis supporter. I'm a huge tennis fan. Wimbledon women's final, I think, still happening right now. For them to come out in tennis clothing, it's like this is, I was in stitches. This is incredible stuff. It's right up my alley. It's stupid. It's slightly clever, but mostly stupid, which is like right up my alley. And then you introduce Wimbledon or like the just tennis in general. This is probably my favorite clip that we
the
saw.
The quote that's up on the screen behind them is totally uses of your guilty pleasures.
I wasn't going to say anything.
We were too titillated. This was amazing. I was like, if wrestling should be all this, and I'm 100% in.
Yes!
I loved this. This was so funny. Like, the tennis outfits were, like, amazing. I loved how they had, like, the like tennis balls in their pocket, their very tight short pockets.
Oh!
So good.
Yes, Matt. Like, those were tennis balls.
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't think anything of it because I was just like, oh, they're wearing pants. Like, I did not look that closely. And then I think Corey Graves on commentary was like, do they have tennis balls in their pants? And I was like, wait, what's going on here? So I'm innocent.
Tennis commentator, like, it's like, these looks will serve your inner desires. It was so amazing. I loved every minute of it. I was just Googling this and I saw, what is this? Like, who is this? So I found this article that says, I was so embarrassed. WWE legend blasts Max Dupree's segment on SmackDown.
Who cares?
So Jim Cornette. Who has a negative word to say about this complete work of art?
Again, this is one of the reasons why we bring these types of clips to, like, we wanted to bring them to you because some people take wrestling very seriously. Like, they think it always has to be matches like the Becky and Asuka match. Like, they always feel like it has to be like serious and brutal. Well, there's these funny clips interspersed in there. And these funny clips are kind of like what kind of draws in casual audiences. It's for people like us who enjoy storyline. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why we believe that there's always something for everyone when it comes to wrestling. And it's not for, sometimes it's not for everybody. So, so I agree. Max and male models, we didn't get to talk about it last week because we did the preview show. So I was so excited to include that here.
Yes.
And Mace and Mansoir is good. I can't wait. I'm excited. These two introductions to them is what we've seen so far. I don't know if every week we're gonna get Max Dupree introducing another like line, but it's very funny.
The beauty of these men oozes through. Like, that's The lot, it was so good.
I have to quickly call out the way that Mari flicked her hair back when she said "mensoir." Like, it was perfect. Oh, wow. I don't think it was intentional, but it was perfect. It was perfect.
That's so funny. But yeah, look at that.
Take it in, those legs, those short shorts, that motif. The motif is everything.
And it's a nod to tennis history, to when they used wooden rackets, because they do not use those anymore.
Wow. Lots of wood. And the poses are so good, too.
Yes. Matt's gone. We lost Matt. Oh my gosh, yes.
Wow.
This is a certifiable
hit. I really didn't think that there were any shenanigans with the pants, but hey, I guess
Saturday night
fever. Are you looking now, Matt?
I'm just observing.
You gotta look closely.
Yeah, I'm not zooming in anymore. So there we go.
All right.
But you can if you watch on YouTube.
We gotta go, y'all. Okay, so Lacey Evans demands her respect. Dr. Amanda, what's going on here?
So Lacey Evans, who I get, like, she has got like this US theme, like kind of military. She's gonna go out. And, you know, there's like some applause, and then she's going to turn around and leave. And everybody's like, whoa, where did Lacey go? She comes back to applause, like more applause. She's going to leave again. And then she gets in the ring and demands a standing ovation. She calls the crowd disgusting. She says, you're too weighed down by brisket and pulled pork. she tells everyone to go to hell.
The gall.
And then her like tag team partner, I guess, begs her to come back, and Lacey's just gonna smack her. I thought this was like hilarious. I gave this a 5 out of 5. This got like, this nailed the theatrics. Like, I loved her point of view as a character, like the hilarity of being like this American hero who's gonna come out and basically like give like the finger to the audience. Like, you hear the crowd is like literally cheering F you to Lacey. I thought this was really, really funny. And I enjoyed it.
I love this too. The you guys are disgusting. The line delivery killed me. Like, it's perfect. It doesn't even matter. Everything else that happens after that, in and of itself, delivered with such fire and such conviction.
Yes.
And on some level, you know, those people that were like, yeah, we are. Like, this is great.
I did eat too much brisket.
It happens. I belong in that trash can that Asuka owns.
Oh my gosh, not a trash can.
Yeah, I love this. This was such a great follow-up to my favorite segment that we talked about.
Yeah, and just have to say, you know, Lacey Evans, because just so you don't have to do it, Mari, Lacey Evans has had an interesting path the last few months. We weren't sure what was happening. They were giving really like her backstory, and it was very, sharing her traumatic backstory, which is real, you know, but we were getting the vibes like, this is off. This doesn't feel right. This is also incredibly awkward and not going to get her over as a babyface, as a hero here. And it's about time that she embraced her the evil villain side of things. Mari, how are you feeling about this? Yeah? Mari, what are you? Yeah.
Yes, finally. She has embraced her evil villainess. She's a former Marine. We got so many weird segments of her like literally she was having therapy straight to a camera and kind of like crying and talk about her traumatic backstory, and we were like, this is touchy, but this is weird, like, because it also, they had like a digital American flag waving in the background,
and it's WWE, I think, is like the bigger, I mean, maybe that's like the bigger thing of it, which is like, if it was Pod Friends, for example, we're like, okay, right, this makes sense.
She took 6 vignettes to unveil her trauma about her like family life, and then I was like, okay, so they're gonna make her baby face. She actually got really a pretty good face reaction when she returned to the ring.
It was too bad. You're a jerk if you boo her when she walks out after being like, I'm a Marine, I've been through a lot,
Right.
You know, I'm not going to even rehash all of it.
Yeah.
It was like a forced reaction because people had to cheer her. And then I think they kind of picked up on like, oh, she's not really a hero. I do wonder if they're going to really have her lean on being a Marine though, going forward.
It looks like it. I don't know.
We'll see. Because I don't even think they mentioned that on this past episode of SmackDown. Not specifically. She was talking about being an American hero.
Also, her finishing move is just like a straight right hand to the face, and it's called the woman's right.
What a fit.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
That sentence that you said, that's a 5.
So that's Lacey Evans. And then finally, Natalya and Ronda. Liv Morgan came out and did her celebration. She kind of had the same type of like fiery baby face promo, so they didn't include it in the clip that we showed you. But Natalya comes and interferes. Then Ronda Rousey comes out. This is me explaining it to you guys, and I'll just get your reactions. Mm-hmm. And then we got Ronda versus Natty, even though Ronda is still selling her injury from Money in the Bank, where she's still limping on a knee. Weird. Ariel, what did we think about these two clips here?
I love, to your point exactly, I love that we get Natalya, right? That's her name. Natalya, yeah. She comes in and she's like, Liv, I can dream too of when you're finally gonna shut up. I was like, this was God. All me. I love direct it. Women's right. Already we're off to a great start. That stuff is great. You know, it seems like, you know, they're trying to be like, oh, is Ronda Rousey gonna come out? Of course she comes out. And then poor Ronda, she's just not it for me. Again, this is obviously just my opinion. She's not quite as sharp. She's not like selling it as realistically or as convincingly, I should say, as the other two. Like, I think this is where she has her gaffe about like what city they're in. And there's like just a little bit more, nervous energy. She's not quite confident.
Yes.
She is selling the knee thing. Like I called it Battle of the Knees, where like I think she's fighting Liv, right? Or no, it's Natalya. They're just like limping at each other. Like her knees. I was like, oh no, they're so old. So the knees kind of helped me bring it back because like it read silly to me. So I would say overall, like with the Ronda dip, it's probably a 4.
I just want to add, I feel like everyone had knee issues this week. Mm. Like Bianca ended her match with Carmella at Money in the Bank with a knee injury of some sort. It seemed like, you know, a storyline knee injury. Liv somehow came out of Money in the Bank limping around with some sort of leg thing going on. Ronda had her issue. So everyone is dealing with the knees.
The knee is a vulnerable spot. You got to protect the knee, everybody.
At all times.
I like this one. I gave it a 4. Like Natalya and Liv like really pop for me. Like I think she might be working for me a little bit more than Ariel. I liked this storyline, and I gave it 4 bells.
There you go. 4 bells. Ronda is horrible on the mic. What is this eyeshadow? What is this?
Oh, like, the eyeshadow was a choice.
She just like. This is what my 3-year-old does to like my face. If I tell him, I was like, JJ, you want to do mommy's makeup? He will just take it. This is what he would do. Like,
it's probably
what
better.
Is happening? Yeah. Like, I don't know what this blue.
I kind of like it as a choice because it's different because everybody else has like the really like, you know, dramatic black eyeliner. And like, you know, it's like, she definitely stands apart, like, you know, knowing that she has that UFC background. She just looks tough. Like if you see somebody who did that eyeshadow, you do not want to mess with that person.
They seem unhinged.
They're like, I can really go there. I have no limits.
Is that the thing with like that kind of, I feel like that used to be the thing with, oh, I don't know, but what I heard is like lip liner used to be like, oh, don't mess with her. But you know, it's eyeshadow these days. I don't know.
Rhonda, I don't mess with literally anybody. I'm not the one to ask.
I don't know. Things happen in.
Oh my god. Oh, I can't breathe. But yes, that whole segment was a choice. I was just like, why are we? I don't want to see people limp around to win. Like, it was just Rhonda getting her win back basically from Natty, and then like, even though she beat Natty already, it was Liv she didn't beat, but whatever. And then her forgetting the name of the city, like mumbling about how her and Liv are gonna meet at SummerSlam.
Maybe he's had too many concussions. I don't know.
Oh, no.
And thank you for joining us for the Wrestling Wrap Up, everybody. And watch out for any punches.
Wear a helmet all the time.
Honestly, that would be the smart move right there in wrestling.
All right. That is it for the highlights of the week and our very funny segment, Casual Ratings with Dr. Amanda and Ariel. Again, all of the highlights can be found in a very handy playlist that is available in our show notes or show descriptions, either in our YouTube channel or on our podcast, in our podcast feed. So, guys, this has been so great. You two, I don't think I've laughed this hard in a very long time. Like, I could not breathe. So let's start with Ariel. Where can the people find you?
The people can find me limping on Twitter at that other Ariel. I am active on Post Show Recaps podcasting with someone you may know, Dr. Amanda. We are covering a new Apple TV Plus show, Loot, and we're about halfway done with that. It's Maya Rudolph. It's great. And then also just started coverage with a friend of the pod, Grace Leader. We are covering another Apple TV show called Blackbird, which is true crime, Mari. So I know that it's going to like scratch some itches for you. So it just came out yesterday. So like, I highly recommend it. Yeah. And also covering movies every week with Grace over on Push or Recaps. So look out for me there.
Awesome. Dr. Amanda, where can the people find you?
The people can find me on Twitter where I'm at Dr. Amanda R. That's the R Amanda R. And yeah, you know, check me out on Post Your Recaps right now, just covering Loot with Ariel. And we're having a lot of fun.
Right. Matt, where can the people find your famous face?
Well, you can find me, or soon enough, I hope you'll be able to find me at the Maximum Male Models website, maximummalemodels.com. I'm going to fill out my application soon. I'm going to be a star. I'm leaving all of you behind, and I'm joining the model crew.
People don't know that Less M stands for Matt.
Honestly, it will.
This website is giving me like Brant Steel. Like, it's so like 2D, like low budget. It's good.
There we go. I am more than 13. Okay, we'll come back to that. So other than finding me on MaximumMaleModels.com soon enough, you could find me at Matt Scott GW on all of the social media. And especially, I just want to shout out, first of all, I was on the Challenge Fanatics podcast talking about the finale of The Challenge All-Stars 3, which was really fun with Josh Green. So search for Challenge Fanatics. Check that out. And you could hear me on Pod Friends here on Rob Has a Podcast on RHAP, the reality TV wrap-ups, where this week features an interview with my pod-in-law, my Mari's other co-host who she cheats on me with. AKA Sarah Carradine, who is phenomenal, and we had a great conversation. So check out. Okay, yeah, we have an arrangement.
Holly Potteris,
very Polly Potteris. And so Sarah Carradine is on this week's Pod Friends, which you can check out at robhiswebsite.com/podfriendsfeed. And you know, you could see me on Survivor Philadelphia. Dr. Amanda, you were out there. You were trying to do the thing in season one. I'm trying to do the thing in season two. We'll see how this goes. Anyway, you could check out Survivor Philadelphia by going on YouTube, searching Survivor Philly. going on social media at Survivor Philly or going to bit.ly/SurvivorHVH, which stands for Head versus Heart. Speaking of Survivor, the last thing I'll plug is the Pride Has Spoken podcast series featuring queer Survivor players throughout, thank you so much, throughout the month of June, Pride Month. And you can check that out at robhiswebsite.com/pridefeed. So that is what's happening for me. But Mari. Okay, wait. The one thing I'll mention. Big Brother is another thing. There's so much going on. Big Brother's another thing. You said this last week that, and you're probably about to say it, Big Brother coverage is happening for Big Brother 24. And so check me out there, because if you follow at Matt Scott GW, I will be popping up on one of those recaps sometime soon. And Mari, where can the people find you? Probably on a Big Brother recap.
Well, you can find me every week, every Tuesday, bringing True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP, me and Sarah Carradine. We bring Crime Scene, where we go over true crime properties and we give our ratings. So this past week, we just dropped the episode with Liana Boris. It was a great episode. We watched The Janes on HBO Max and talked about a very timely issue, reproductive rights. It was a very, very good episode. So go check that out by going to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed, and you can subscribe there. You can also follow us on Twitter at Crime Scene RHAP. That's at Crime SEENRHAP on Twitter. And just a sneak peek for next week. On Tuesday, we're going to be dropping an episode where we talk about the a fatal swatting in the gamer community. So a little bit of a tidbit there. If you want to find out more, go subscribe to the Crime Scene feed and check us out when that pops up. So you can also follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two, where every time I go live with Taryn for a Big Brother 24 live feed update, or if I'm on the recaps, I will tell you there. So if you really want to catch me talking Big Brother, which you should, because I love Big Brother, you love Big Brother, go listen to me talk about it. Follow me on Twitter so you know when I will be guesting there. So please also remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the Wrestling Wrap Up by going to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed. Send any long-form questions to our email by sending it to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. Of course, sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/RHAP. So for me, Matt Scott, our wonderful guests, remember, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flush it in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hit this, some man! With the rock!